This is the Patriots Pregame Social, live from the Patriots Facebook page.
Brady takes the snap. Back to throw. Fires left. Caught. First down. Bryant's inside the 10. Inside the 5. Touchdown.
The Pregame Social is the world's biggest virtual tailgate, featuring the fans of the three-time Super Bowl champion New England Patriots.
Back-to-back world championships, 3 out of 4. Yes, it's a dynasty.
Paul Perillo and Andy Hart of Patriots Football Weekly are here to do the grilling as your hosts. Now, Paul and Andy get you ready for the game, live from the Subway Fresh Broadcast Studios inside Gillette Stadium. Patriots Nation, welcome to the Patriots Pregame Social.
Last week, very interestingly, Andy Hart and I, as we walked down here to the Subway Fresh Broadcast Studios to do our Patriots Pregame Social, our JetBlue Patriots Pregame Social, Andy Hart declared the game between the Patriots and Chargers as a battle for a first-round bye in the AFC playoffs. I think you put the number 2 seed.
Yes.
But I'm just going to go more broad. First round bye in the playoffs. Patriots obviously come out on top with a big win, big home win, 35-21. However, a week later, Andy Hart, as we get ready to do another edition of the JetBlue Pregame Social, the Patriots are playing for first place in the division against the Buffalo Bills. What say you?
I say I think the other one has more long-term meaning than this one.
Wish I could argue with you. Can't do it.
Fact is, yes, this is 2-0 teams that have started the season putting up a lot of points on offense and playing some suspect defense. But I expect one of them to be there for the long haul, even if they keep up with said formula for winning, which isn't necessarily ideal in the postseason. Either way, I don't think the Bills will maintain this. But the one thing I do say is I'm glad for Buffalo. They got something to cheer about. I think that's a pretty good crowd, a pretty good stadium. You know, they don't have a lot going on in Western New York, and they have a Bills team that is fun to root for right now, with a playmaker at quarterback, a playmaker at running back, a playmaker at receiver. Good for them. I hope it lasts as long as possible. I just don't expect it to be enough today. I don't think they are anywhere near the class of the New England Patriots or the class of the AFC East.
Well, I would agree with you. You know, all around, I wish I could argue with you about the credentials that the Bills bring, but I'm still somewhat skeptical. But at the same time, I agree with your sentiments about Buffalo in general, and I am happy for them to see them have a little success. Not, you know, obviously at the expense of our New England Patriots, but they've been down, and they do have a team right now that I think is intriguing to watch. They have suddenly transformed from this sort of pedestrian, close-to-the-vest ground attack that tried to use Marshawn Lynch and Willis McGahee before him and Fred Jackson now, and then relied on chewing up clock and chewing up yards that way. A formula, I think, for failure in today's National Football League. And I think that they've quickly changed that. And now they use more spread offense. They started that a little bit last year with Ryan Fitzpatrick. And it's through two games, Andy Hart, anyway. Who has more points scored? The Buffalo Bills or the New England Patriots?
The Buffalo Bills.
Yeah, it's stunning. 6 more points.
And Tom Brady and Ryan Fitzpatrick with identical 7-1 touchdown interception ratios.
Yeah, so give them some credit for at least you know, jumping out of the gates, giving the fans a little bit of something to cheer about.
And winning games that, if they want to be a mid-tier team, they should. I'm not saying they're a playoff team or the best in the division of the AFC, but if you want to be above the bottom, so to speak, and not in that bottom class, then you should beat the teams that are banged up and not very good, and the Chiefs aren't very good, and the Raiders are, well, the Raiders.
And not only that, but they fell behind 21-3 at the half against the Raiders, and they came back, and that's not an easy thing to do against anybody, and they were able to do it. One of the things that we like to do at the top of every show is sort of take the temperature of Patriots fans, and this is something that's drawn my ire a little bit the last few weeks, because I don't think the confidence level at fantab.com has been quite where I would expect it to be for an offense that is putting up historic numbers with Tom Brady, arguably the greatest quarterback in the history of the game, never been better through two games. What is the confidence level of Patriots fans right now at fantab.com, Andy Hart?
You want the good news or the bad news?
I want all the news.
The good news is Patriots fans are the most confident fans in the American Football Conference Eastern Division. They have an average confidence rating of 86 after a 2-0 start to the season, which is two points better than the Buffalo Bills. The Jets are at 72, and the Miami Dolphins fans not feeling so good. Not only are they at 49, but they've fallen 16 points in the last 24 hours or so. So I think they feel like the Tony Sparano era is petering out there in Miami, and they've lost a lot of confidence, as they should.
Yeah, well,
you know, when
people...
the owner loses confidence in your coach, it's easy as a fan to lose confidence in your coach.
Some people think Sparano may actually be coaching for his job today in Cleveland.
Who cares? He won't be the coach
at
the end of the season. Right.
Not
Nor
him.
Should he. When you're in a debacle situation, get the hell out. It's not your fault it's
still
a debacle.
He still has time to salvage a career.
Get out. Go somewhere else. But the Patriots, as I said, at 86, they've fallen one percentage point in the last 24 hours. My guess is the injury report came out on Friday, and the deactivated players came out on Saturday. And fans, seeing 15 players on the injury report, six guys deactivated. You know, normally they're known as game day inactives. These are 1 and 2 day before the game inactives for the Patriots because of so many injuries. My guess is that hurt the ratings for the confidence of New England fans. But I urge you, get over there, sign up at FanTab. You can use your Facebook, your Twitter, whatever you want to do to log in, and then voice your confidence, because I want this to be the most legitimate assessment of Patriots confidence, Patriots fans' confidence. And the only way to do that is to get the numbers as high as possible so we can have a larger sampling. I hate ratings on TV because I think it's a small sampling. I hate polls politically because they tell me the temperature of the entire U.S. based on 1,000 people that they asked. I want numbers over at FanTab so I can feel confident in the confidence ratings there. So put the power of Patriots Nation to work. Put the power of Patriots Football Weekly, Patriots.com, and the JetBlue pregame social to work. Get over there, sign up, and voice your opinions on your favorite football team.
Yeah, I agree. And just to set the table a little bit of what we're going to do today, we're going to check in a little bit earlier than we normally do with our out-of-town writer, and that's going to be Chris Brown today of Bill's Digest.
The other one. He's not going to throw a chair through our glass window when he's done with our interview, is he?
No.
Okay, good.
No. He's not going to hit anybody. He's not going to throw any chairs. Not going
Luckily,
to do any
Eric's
of that.
Not here.
So we will check in with him at the top of the hour, about 11 o'clock, and find out what's going on in Buffalo to make sure that we can see how seriously we need to take these Buffalo Bills. We're also going to head to the Patriots Fan Club of Rochester and talk to Dean. And we spent some time in Rochester last year on the way home from Buffalo when we got stuck there for an extra day. So we have a little something to talk about.
No question.
We know from
Rochester. One of the hotel meals that I've ever had in Rochester.
And, of course, as we always do, we're going to step inside the press box for the New England Patriots side of things, and we'll have to ask Eric to ask other people what's going on so we can find out.
Well, it's always an entertaining segment. I don't know if it's intentionally so, and I'd like to say it's informative, and sometimes it is, sometimes it isn't. We'll see what Eric brings to the table today. Okay. Hopefully he's got his fastball.
The big news early on, Andy Hart alluded to right off the top. Andy, you posted this on the blog last night, tweeted it out. Three more players downgraded to out for the New England Patriots. So injuries starting to become a little bit of a concern here. Depth, particularly in the secondary, and I think on the offensive line, deserves mentioning. On Friday, the Patriots announced that Aaron Hernandez, Sebastian Vollmer, and Mike Wright would not be playing in the ball game. They were all declared out on Friday. On Saturday, you can add Patrick Chung, Albert Haynesworth, and Taylor Price to that list. Obviously, Haynesworth and Chung, the two bigger names there. Chung's situation was interesting last week because there was initially reports that he underwent surgery on his thumb and would miss one, possibly two games. And then all of a sudden on Friday, after missing practice Wednesday and Thursday, he grabs a helmet with a cast on his right thumb. He heads out to practice, and he was listed as having been a limited participant in the Friday practice. That caused a lot of people to have some optimism regarding his chances to play, Andy, but he wasn't able to go. What kind of impact do you think that has on the secondary?
I think it's huge. This is a Bills team that likes to spread the ball out a little bit, go three wide receiver sets, create some creases for Fred Jackson. I think they're the best rushing team in the NFL right now after a couple of weeks. He's had a couple 100-yard games to open the season. They're talking about using C.J. Spiller in a slightly different role, maybe more time at wide receiver, which obviously puts a lot of stress on the edge of your defense and your safeties because he's a dynamic athlete out there. You don't know how they're going to use him, and if a corner misses a tackle and the safety's not there to clean it up, a 6-yard pass goes into a 60-yard pass, and he finds the end zone. And they don't have a lot of depth there. You know, we talked about it when they cut Brandon Merriweather and James Sanders, didn't re-sign Jarrod Page, cut Brandon McGowan. I mean, basically, your top safeties, aside from Chung from the last couple of years, you let go. You chose to let walk. And I think it's concerning. You know, they promoted Ross Ventrone from the practice squad to give a body back there. But, you know, I kind of joked coming down that, you know, if Ross Ventrone's on the field, I take that as a bad sign for the Patriots and a great sign for Ryan Fitzpatrick and the Bills offense. You know, you have a guy in Josh Barrett who's in his third game as a Patriot, who's now, I guess, your leader back there in the middle. You have a guy in Sergio Brown, undrafted practice squad guy last year, gets promoted. He's your other starter, I would assume. James Ahedebo is a guy that, you know, is a special teamer primarily in his career, has done some things defensively. And the other concern there is you already have Barrett playing with a cast on his right hand, right thumb. Ahedebo got shaken up last week. You know, it didn't look like anything major. I don't believe he was on the injury report. But, you know, there's no net there. You're starting with no depth. You're starting with inexperience, and you can only go downhill from there.
Right.
And that's not to mention some uncertainty at corner. Rozai Dowling is on the field. He's got a hip injury. He's being looked at by the trainers in the pregame, getting worked out. Looks like he's a definite game-time decision. He's been your starter. Lee Bodden has battled hand and back injuries over the start of the season here and has been kind of used in a rotational role more than a true starting role. Devin McCourty is completely healthy, but your next guy in line, Kyle Arrington, has had a concussion. So a lot of questions in the secondary there. And to me, when you have that many questions, that communication becomes a major issue against a team like the Bills. I mean, if they were just playing some team that, you know, has two wide receivers and they line it up and they pound the ball 40 times, okay, that's one thing. But I think Brad Smith, C.J. Spiller, Fred Jackson, Steve Johnson, this Bills team tries to spread you out and challenge you to cover their guys and to make plays. And I find that concerning coming into this game. If I didn't think the Patriots had the offense to outscore just about anybody, I'd have major concerns in this game today.
Yeah, no, and it's a good point, too. And that's the way I feel basically going into almost all games. Now, it's even more so with the tenuous situation in that secondary that you just broke down too, and you know Arrington, Bodden, Dowling, like you said, those are guys that are going to be extra defensive backs out there because you don't have enough safeties to really have out there. Well, they're all sort of subpar too in terms of physically. And then on the flip side, the situation at tight end is a little tenuous because you have Rob Gronkowski out there. His brother Dan was let go during the course of the week. Aaron Hernandez is not going to be able to play. And, oh, by the way, Nate Solder has to play right tackle this week because Sebastian Vollmer's out. So you don't really have an extra guy. You would think you would want to sort of load up and run the ball a little bit against a Buffalo defense that traditionally has been very poor against the run. Maybe they'll do that today, but maybe it'll be out of spread formations more so than it has in the past. This is one of those games that Belichick has sort of liked to load up and put a couple of tight ends on the field. Algie Crumpler played a lot in that game last year in Buffalo, and they just pounded him between the tackles. They couldn't stop him. So that's not going to be an option today. Maybe we'll see an extra defensive back out there. Who knows? An extra offensive lineman out there, a guy like Donald Thomas maybe, who has some flexibility, being able to play guard, tackle. You know, maybe you see him out there as an extra guy, as an extra blocker. But right now, it makes you wonder exactly if they're going to run the football like that, how they're going to do it.
But the thing to me that has me not worrying about the offense as much.
No,
I'd be more worried about
hard.
The tackle position because you have to have a tackle on the field. You have to have somebody that can protect Brady. Other than that, in terms of the skill position players, Bill O'Brien and Bill Belichick dictate what they're going to do to the Bills.
Yeah, your concern about the secondary is far greater than anything
so
on
even
offense.
If Gronkowski were to go down, you had no tight ends. I think there's enough weapons on this offense. Even, you know, you have the rookie running backs now. If you had to use Shane Vereen in the slot or whatever you do, you have Edelman, you have Ocho Cinco, you have Welker and Branch. You have the weapons to move the ball on offense, and as long as number 12 is upright, I'm okay there. But you're right. I mean, they have depth concerns at tackle, tight end, actually, at offensive line, at the entire offensive line.
The offensive line has already been, it's down two. You're down 3 weeks into the season, you're down two starters.
Mm-hmm.
So that is something to be concerned about. And, you know, every week I just want to let everybody know we're looking forward to your participation because this show is all about you, the fans. We want to have it be as interactive as possible. We're encouraging your emails at webradio@patriots.com. Obviously, that's the tried and true method to join. True. method to join us here on the Patriots pregame social. Web radio at patriots.com. Also, you can reach us on the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-298-0398. Once again, that's 508-298-0398. And continue when you try to hit us up on Twitter at Jumbo Hart and at PFW Paul. Make sure you use the hashtags PPGS for Patriots pregame social. And Andy Hart usually does a good job of keeping up with those. He's already told you what the clamor is regarding Rossi Dowling being put through the paces by assistant strength and conditioning coach Moses Cabrera out on the field at Ralph Wilson Stadium. So those are the ways that you can join us, and we look forward to your participation in that regard. But right now, Andy, just because I don't want to hold up our special guest from Buffalo, Chris Brown, we're going to go right now to that Ralph Wilson Stadium press box and talk to Chris Brown from Bills Digest. Chris, how you doing?
Doing all right, guys. Good morning.
We appreciate you joining us. It's Paul Perillo and Andy Hart from Patriots Football Weekly. What is the temperature there in Buffalo? A lot of excitement. 2-0 start, a lot of points. Offense all over the place, scored more points than our mighty New England Patriots. How excited is everybody in Buffalo?
Well, I mean, I think you guys are pretty familiar with the history. No playoff appearances since 99 for this franchise. So a 2-0 start has led to a whole lot of optimism here. Now, I think people here in Buffalo are not exactly delusional. They know the type of and caliber of opponent they're facing today in the Patriots, and that they're 0 for their last 15 against this team. But I think they genuinely feel that the Bills can be right in this game. I'm not going to predict the Bills are going to win it, but I think they could cover that point spread today.
What's the feeling with Ryan Fitzpatrick? Obviously, he's in a contract year. He's playing well right now. Exact same numbers as Tom Brady, basically, in terms of 7 touchdowns, 1 interception. He's been pretty good over the last year plus. Is there a feeling among fans and even among the team that this is their quarterback for the foreseeable future?
Well, you don't really have any other better answers right now, and I know there are a couple of prospects that will be in next year's draft class, and everybody wants to take a look ahead and really find a guy that's a long-term answer, but you know, I think Fitz is probably the closest thing to that, you know, in the last 10 years for this franchise, which has tried time and again to find Jim Kelly's replacement. So, I mean, Fitzpatrick's a sharp tack. You know, he's not going to get fooled all that much. I think last year, yeah, he did have a good number of interceptions, but I think that was the byproduct of him feeling as though he had to make a few more things happen in this offense with the running game, you know, not all that great last season. So, you know, now with an offensive line that has blocked very well through the first 2 weeks in terms of run blocking and opening up holes for Fred Jackson and C.J. Spiller, I mean, they got the number one rushing offense in the league. I think blessed with that balance in their attack, Fitz feels less apt to really try to stick some passes in there. That's not to say he's not going to put, you know, the ball in some tight windows at times, but I think he's taking more prudent chances, shall we say, with the football when he's throwing it around the yard than maybe he did last year, and I think that's only going to improve his touchdown-to-interception ratio and, you know, thereby improve the production for the Bills, which we've seen through the first 2 weeks. So, yeah, I mean, I think until a better answer comes along, this guy's the guy.
Looking at the offense, they obviously are kind of developing with the traditional formula, finding their quarterback, finding their running back, finding their wide receiver. Fred Jackson, a couple hundred-yard games, as you said, leading the league in rushing right now, the Bills are as a team. Stevie Johnson has proven himself kind of a dynamic playmaker down the field over the last year plus. Two questions. Are those guys legit? Are they going to ascend to some of the best at their position in the NFL as they continue to evolve as players? And B, is it fitting in the town like Buffalo, not necessarily the most glamorous city on the planet, a lot of blue-collar type workers, that these guys weren't high first-round picks and glamour stars and they've developed into the core of the team?
Well, I think that fact is what has endeared them to Buffalo fans. You know, Fred Jackson's a Division III college player coming out of Coe College, has to go play in the United States Indoor Football League, then goes to NFL Europe before he comes to Buffalo. And, you know, Stevie was a seventh-round pick, and so was Ryan Fitzpatrick. So, I mean, coming from lesser means or lesser stock, if you will, has endeared them to the Buffalo fans. There's no question. But I think at the same time, they're legitimate NFL players. I think they've proven that. And you know, I know Bill Belichick said earlier this week there are no weak points in Fred Jackson's game, and I know sometimes Bill has a tendency to build up the opponent, but I don't know if truer words could have been spoken, because Brett Jackson can do just about everything, and I've talked to some personnel execs around the league, not just this year but in years past, and I know to a man they'd love to have Fred Jackson on their team because he does everything well. And, you know, he's not going to burn up the track. He's not a 4-3 guy by any means, but this guy knows how to make something out of nothing perhaps better than any back I've seen since Thurman Thomas. So I think he's a legit performer. He just hasn't had the opportunity to be a full-time starter. You know, and Stevie, in his first year of having a chance of being a full-time starter, you saw what he was able to produce with, you know, 10 touchdowns and almost 1,100 yards last year. So they're genuine, bona fide, you know, NFL borderline, maybe Pro Bowl players. So, yeah, I mean, it doesn't matter where they came from. It's what they're doing now, and they're producing.
Chris, just as an aside, Bill Belichick likes to prop up teams, but he doesn't necessarily go overboard on individuals. And his affection for Fred Jackson is pretty legit. He's gone on and on about him virtually every time we've played them since he's been, you know, a key element of their team. You know, there's some individuals that he goes overboard on, and Fred Jackson is one of them. He really likes that player. But specifically with some of the injuries, we've been talking a lot about the injuries on the Patriots side. Well, the Bills are going to be without some key guys today, too. Terrence McGee, obviously, Kirk Morrison, Roscoe Parrish on IR now. Craig Urbick, one of the offensive linemen, is out. Are these injuries, how concerning are these injuries? And some of the other guys that are banged up, like Stevie Johnson, you know, what kind of effectiveness are these guys going to have?
Well, I think the thing with Stevie is it's a groin injury that is more of a nagging thing than a serious injury, because if it was serious, he wouldn't even be out there. I mean, he's a gamer, and if anybody watched the tail end of that game last week for the Bills against Oakland, I mean, he was cramping up in both of his calves, and, you know, he was really hanging there at the end of the game and had to come out on that last possession when they scored the game, what proved to be the game-winning touchdown. But Stevie feels it's something that he can play with. Now, you know, for Patriots fans that may not know, I mean, this guy isn't a burner. He's a 4.5, 6.40 guy, and speed is not the best asset with his game. His greatest asset is getting off press, winning one-on-one situations. He gets open based on elusiveness and deceptiveness. The guy's got, you know, an innumerable number of moves to separate himself from defensive backs, and that's kind of how he makes his hay in the league. So the groin injury I don't think would affect him as much as, say, a player like a Roscoe Parrish, who relies on speed and explosion to gain separation. Now, the Parrish loss last year was noticeable. He broke his wrist mid-season, and there was a noticeable drop-off in offensive production for the Bills because they were plugging rookies into those spots to fill Parrish's void. This year, you got some of the same guys, but they've really emerged into playmakers. And David Nelson's going to be the primary guy to take his role. And the guy had 10 catches for 86 yards last week, including the game-winning touchdown. So I don't really see a drop-off happening there from the Bills' receiving core because they have a guy like David Nelson, and their tight end is more involved in the offense this year in Scott Chandler.
Now, on the flip side, Chris, what do they do to slow down this Patriots offense?
Well, it's going to be interesting. I mean, I'm assuming Nate Solder's going to start at right tackle with Vollmer out, and right, it wouldn't shock me to see them overload that side of the formation in passing downs. Granted, it's on Brady's front side, so he'll be able to see that rush coming, but I think they feel there are some advantages there that they can take with some of their blitz packages, none of which they've really shown through the first 2 weeks because they've been so focused on the opponent's running game and the Chiefs and the Oakland Raiders the first 2 weeks, who were the number one and two rushing teams in football last year. So they took a very, very conservative approach with respect to getting pressure on the passer. I think that all flips around this week because Brady's obviously the focus. And so, you know, I'm anticipating a much more aggressive Bills front seven this week in terms of how they approach Brady. That's not to say they're going to blitz him the whole game. You obviously got to mix it up against Tom in the hopes to catch him off guard on a play or two here or there. But I do expect a more aggressive front seven today.
I'm sure part of that aggressive play would be Sean Merriman. Where is he at in his return to being a legitimate pass rusher who can impact games?
He's not all the way back yet. And even Chan Gailey said this week, you know, this is not a guy that we can have out there for 60 plays a game at this point. I think they're just taking this very cautious, conservative approach with him, knowing he hasn't played football week in and week out for the better part of the last 2 years. And they were very cautious with him in the training camp setting and in the preseason. He only appeared in the first and final preseason games for about 7 to 10 plays each. And his play was encouraging. You see flashes of it. I just think from a stamina and endurance standpoint, he cannot deliver for 50, 60 plays on the defensive side of the ball. So I would anticipate somewhere between 25 to 30 plays for him, at least in the early going of the season. But I think come that season finale, when the Bills are up at Gillette Stadium on New Year's Day, I think they're hoping by that time, you know, this guy is playing 50, 55 plays a game and making the kind of impact that people are accustomed to seeing from him from years past.
Enough about the defense, because neither of these teams is going to go anywhere with their defense. Let's get back to offense, which is more fun, more points, more big plays. And my final question for you, I've seen some rumblings of maybe C.J. Spiller seeing more time as almost a traditional wide receiver. Could we see some of that today? And is the thinking there just get, you know, the athlete out there in space and allow him to break a tackle and make some big plays?
Well, yeah, since he's been drafted, you know, everyone's kind of compared him to Reggie Bush and how he was used by the New Orleans Saints when, you know, they made him their draft pick in 2005. And, you know, I would foresee a similar role for him. You know, last year he spent all his time just getting accustomed to the NFL setting. It was a change for him. You know, a guy that relied almost exclusively on his speed at the college level, suddenly everybody was just as fast or close to as fast as him, and he couldn't make the same kind of plays the same way. So he's made that adjustment. And, you know, last week he only touched the ball six times, but he had four carries for 60-something yards. He had a 12-yarder, an 18-yarder, and a 26-yarder, and had Oakland scared in their shoes, because on that game-winning touchdown pass to David Nelson, he's lined up in the backfield on the left side of the formation. The middle linebacker, the cornerback, and the defensive end all run to C.J. Spiller at the snap of the football, think he's taking a swing pass into the end zone on that fourth down play, and it leaves David Nelson wide open in the middle. So in just four short plays, he becomes a major concern to a very fast Raiders defense. And so I think he will be split out more because he matches Roscoe Parrish's physical skill set better than any other receiver. So if they want that speed in the slot, he'll be the guy. And they've lined him up there a lot the first 2 weeks. They just haven't gone to him mainly because Parrish and Nelson have been the focus in the passing game the first two games.
Well, it certainly should be an exciting game because, as Andy Hart just said, Chris, I don't think either one of these teams is going to go very far based on what its defense does. So I think we have two offenses that are capable of moving the ball and putting points on the board. It should be an entertaining game today.
Yeah, I think entertaining is the good way to put it. Take the over.
Well, we appreciate you taking the time. I know you have some more media commitments to fill, Chris, so I don't want to keep you from those. Enjoy the game today, and thanks for taking the time for the Patriots pregame social.
All right, take care, fellas. Enjoy the great Buffalo weather.
That's Chris Brown from Bills Digest joining us. Interesting, some of the things that he said. I thought specifically, both you and I raised our eyebrows at the same time. Didn't really think much that the two teams that they played in those first two games are so run dominant that maybe they haven't had a chance to really get after the passer, because I've sort of completely dismissed that, and that was something Scott Zolak brought up in the pregame on 98.5, the Sports Hub here in Boston. He asked me a question about if I thought the screen game would sort of get back into vogue today, something they did a lot during the summer. I haven't seen a whole lot of it in the first couple of games. This is a team that can get after the passer a little bit on the road, hostile territory, maybe a good way to, you know, quiet that rush. I didn't give it a whole lot of thought because I really didn't think Buffalo had that kind of pressure to create.
Yeah, I think this is a big day for the pass rush for them because they can't cover. So they're going to have to find a way to get some pressure on Brady. And I think by extension, you look at a guy, and we've had some tweets and some emails requesting maybe a little bit of fantasy talk here in the pregame social, because we know a lot of Patriots fans, Patriots Nation, part of their pregame process is setting their fantasy lineups and looking for maybe a little inside dope on the fantasy games of the day. And I'm going to go with an interesting Patriot if you have him. I think Danny Woodhead could have a huge day today.
Yeah.
You know, you look not only at the screen game, but some draws, you know, some spread sets. You know, much like C.J. Spiller, I don't think this is a very good Bills defense. If you spread them out and give a guy like Woodhead a chance to find some space and make some plays, they could turn into big plays. So I think he's a guy, as you look at the offense transforming in week three, because they can't just go with our two tight ends, our two wide receivers, what we've done for the first 2 weeks. I think Danny Woodhead is a smart fantasy play today, and also just a smart play for Bill Belichick to maybe have some yards and points in place.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. I agree with you. You get him out in space against some suspect players. I think that makes a lot of sense. Early in every show so far that we've done, we've checked in with Las Vegas, our buddy Jeff in Vegas. We're going to do so with him right after we get back from this board. But I you know, Chris brought up that, you know, the over. So I'm interested to see what Jeff thinks in terms of how the line is moving. It seems like there's been some penchant to go with Buffalo in this because it was such a big spread. So we'll get Jeff's take when we get back.
Hey, it's Jim from Ace Ticket, Boston's very own ticket agency. Ace Ticket is based here in Boston, so we know every seat in every venue. We're Boston fans just like you, from Boston sports to concert and theater. Whether you need one ticket or 100, Ace has you covered. So treat yourself or someone special. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com and take advantage of our free and easy pickup at our Fenway Park or Boston Garden location. That's 1-800-MY-SEATS.
1-800-MY-SEATS. Is that bacon I smell?
Grandma must be cooking.
She makes everything with bacon. Bacon pie, bacon shrimp, bacon on the cob.
I know one thing that tastes better than her cooking.
What's that?
The new Bacon McDouble from McDonald's. It's made with two savory pieces of bacon, melty American cheese.
Mm, that sounds better than anything Grandma can whip up.
I heard that.
The new Bacon McDouble is here. Right now, you can get two Bacon McDoubles or two large fries or one of each for just $3.33. Price of single item posted on menu board. Price and participation may vary for a limited time.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with cheese combo.
Oh, will that be all?
That's it.
Go, Birds!
What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go, Birds!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help. I'll just take this when you're ready.
Oh, here you go.
Go, Birds!
Indeed. Go Pats. With Patriots checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open.
Whoops. Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. An account setup fee may apply in some states.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Health Care Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epocher. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Get inside the Patriots pregame social with Paul Barillo and Andy Hart. Call the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-298-0398 or email the show at webradio@patriots.com. Now back to Paul and Andy from the Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium.
Welcome back to the JetBlue Patriots pregame social. Andy Hart's going to take a look at the Twitter account before we go to Jeff in Vegas.
Just a real update from the tweet deck. A lot of media members tweeting about Mike Reese, Charlize Manza-Young tweeting about the fact that Tom Brady on the field earlier than normal for his pregame warmups with a lot of the other skill position players. He and Chad Ochocinco spending a lot of time jogging and chatting together. Many taking that to believe that Ochocinco could be a bigger part of the offense this week and that maybe they're going over some last-minute fine-tuning of their relationship together. Aaron Hernandez out.
Can't be any smaller a part
you,
of the
you
offense.
You heard... That's very negative. Yes, he could be. His name could be Taylor Price.
Well,
right?
I mean, thank you.
Thank you. No further questions.
As an active player. I'm
Chad Ochocinco, you heard it here first on PFW in Progress earlier in the week. Lock of the week. At least five catches. At least one touchdown.
Yeah! Big game.
Coming out party for Chad Ochocinco. Look for him to be tweeting more post-game. Look for a post-game press conference from him. And look for a much happier Chad Ochocinco riding his Prius home from Gillette Stadium around 9 p.m. tonight here in Foxborough.
Very exciting, but not as exciting as our buddy Jeff in Vegas. Jeff, thanks for hanging on.
Hey, guys, good morning.
How are you?
I tell you, top of the morning.
How are you?
Hi, how are you?
Early morning. What's going on out there in Vegas? I mean, what? God, it's like 8 in the morning, right?
Yeah, 8 in the morning. What's going on here is that the money is pouring in from the general public on the Buffalo Bills.
Really?
It's alarming. I think the spread opened about 8.5, is down to 7. Bills on the money line opened plus 320, now is down to 270. And the over-under, the total has gone from like 50 and change up to 55 in some locations.
Wow. That's a big number.
Yeah, that's huge. So,
that's with all the injuries on defense. People figure Buffalo's offense will keep up,
combined with everybody taking the over.
Yeah, and you know, Gailey's not a stooge, if you will. You know, hopefully he can take advantage of the banged up Patriots defense. But I do think that if the Patriots can beat the Bills handily, which is certainly possible, you're going to have, you know, you're going to be hearing undefeated talk. But if the general public is watching this game, if Buffalo pulls the upset, everyone, you know, it's going to be everywhere. There's going to be lots of Buffalo love out there.
Okay, so Jeff, where's the Jeff Smart Money of the Week?
Well, I got the, you know, again, the Buffalo desperately wants to win this game. That crowd, as you know, is going to be really lubed up. There are no moral victories for the Buffalo Bills. They want to end that 15-game winning streak. So I got it early up. Bills on the money line early in the week. Again, it's entirely possible New England's going to blow them out. But this is a game. All the value is Buffalo to win the game. They don't want to just cover. They want to win the game. So you got to take them on the money line again, you know, hoping as Patriot fans that that's just, you know, a little hedge emotionally.
Well, well done. I like our I like these weekly updates from Vegas. It brings
Absolutely.
A new aspect to the show.
Absolutely.
Jeff, we'll talk to you next week, right? Every week.
Take care.
Every week. It's a different perspective. That's why I saw him hanging on. I knew we were going to our out-of-town writer. I was hoping he was going to hang in there with us, and Jeff did. No, absolutely. I think it does give you a different little bit of a different look.
And I don't want to be the guy who lets everybody in on the dirty little secret. A lot of people think pregame at their tailgate parties, just like Jeff does. There's a lot of people that are interested.
Are you kidding me? That's the only thing.
Fantasy football and Jeff's line of work are pretty much the probably 60% of Patriots fans.
Every one of my pregame tailgates involved a call to Joey the Nose.
Really?
Not from me, but from a representative of my party. Joey the Nose on line 2.
I agree with Jeff, too. I think there's a chance that this is either a shootout
or
the Patriots blow them out.
A shootout or a blowout.
I think there's zero chance the Bills could ever blow the Patriots out.
I agree.
And I wrote this in the six-pack on Patriots.com on Friday. I expect this Bills crowd to be rowdy early. The Patriots expected it, too. Did a lot of work this week with noise.
A lot of noise here in Foxborough, yep.
But I think it could go the other way quickly, too. The Patriots having beaten them 15 straight times. If Brady goes down the field twice in a row and it's 14-0, I think some of these Bills fans will go, okay, yeah, we're still the same team. Here we go again.
I'll tell you right. You could get one of my, and I know you hate it, but you could get one of my nods here after two possessions. Because I think if the Patriots get the opening kickoff and go down and score, and then Buffalo does not match it, I think the game will be over for exactly the reason you just described. I think the fans will be sitting there saying, oh, boy. Here we go again, number 16. And, you know, it's hard to fight that kind of negativity. And those fans have seen it. You mentioned, Andy, that you don't think it's a blowout for the Patriots or a shootout. I totally agree. But the only way Buffalo wins the game outright, I think, is a blowout. Because if it's close, the Patriots will find a way to beat them because they always do.
Another check-in from the tweet deck. The tweets are coming fast and furious out of Ralph Wilson Stadium in Orchard Park. Guessing, this is from Shalice M. Young, also known as Shalice Manza Young of the Boston Globe. Guessing a lot of these guys we don't usually see for early warm-ups are getting a sense of the new turf. They've had some slipping issues in Buffalo with the new turf they've installed. And there is a chance, you know, there were some tweets that Bill O'Brien was out there early seemingly testing the turf. And this is the Patriots' first chance to get on the turf and see what it's all about. And you obviously don't want to have any slippages and that could be part of these early pregame warm-ups, getting a sense for the new footing.
Yeah, and there's also a pretty lengthy list of guys that are dealing with something. You know, guys that we haven't really even talked about that are questionable. Guys like Gerard Mayo.
Sure.
You know, there's a lot of different guys out there that are probably going to go through some stuff for lack of a better term. But I also, before we get back to the Ace Ticket Hotline, I wanted to check in with our buddy Matt here in the studio, because part of what we do every week on the JetBlue Patriots pregame social is it's all interactive. We get up on the Facebook page, we put some polls up there, and Matt is kind enough to post those. Matt, what do we got for the first poll this week?
We have which phase of the defensive game plan is most important to the Patriots today. And the leader in the clubhouse right now is stopping the run and pass defense slash not allowing the big player tied at 31%.
Wow. A flat-footed tie. I would say that those are the two keys, as those were two of my three keys for Patriots points this week.
Yeah, but the way a poll works is you're supposed to vote for one. Pick one, Paul. Stop the run. Or the other one, whatever the other one was.
I think, given the state of the secondary, not allowing the big play is the biggest thing. You can't give them cheap touchdowns. If they're going to score, make them do what you've pretty much done, and make them go 8, 10, 12 plays. They're going to
especially
make,
with Fitzpatrick. He'll give you some chances.
Yeah, and that's the way I look at it. But you can't just let, those safeties back there have to be on point. Can't just let a guy run behind you. If someone beats McCourty.
Yeah, problems over there? You hitting the pregame social a little harder.
What?
You sound like Fred Kirsch.
No. Well, if someone beats McCourty, I'm trying to figure out how to put it the best way, but.
Sounds like you got a banana in your tailpipe.
Well, I might. Who knows?
Paul, people are listening to you. In the, minute since you said that, it's now taking the lead, 33%.
Well, there you go. I'm a trendsetter. People follow me. People know me.
Trendsetter?
I'm kind of a
trends are those? Hey, there's Tom Brady on ESPN right now warming up, doing a little karaoke, which Fred Kirsch thought meant singing to music, not
correct.
The football version, but I've informed him.
That is correct. So head over to the Facebook page. That's where you're listening to us anyway.
Mr.
So
Rob Mayo, who Paul just talked about.
Participate in that poll, and we'll have another one a little bit later. And don't forget, as Matt reminds me, send in your photos of your tailgate. Let us know where you're watching, how you're watching, if you're out in at Buffalo, if you're in Buffalo and you're watching the game there, I want to see your tailgate party. What are you eating? What are you drinking? How are you watching this game? What do you do each and every week? We'll get those photos posted on the Facebook page as quickly as we possibly can. But right now I'm going to get back to the Ace Ticket Hotline, Andy Hart, and check in with Johnny in L.A. Johnny, how are you?
How are you guys doing today?
Outstanding.
All right, good. Pretty early morning here so far at Sunny's. I think it's just me and there's one guy across the bar drinking a cup of coffee.
Well, that guy's making a lot of noise then.
that's the waitress isn't backing me. They're getting fired up.
Nice. Are you drinking already?
No.
God bless you if you are.
Nah, today won't be a drinking day. Just here to listen to you guys and watch the game and then move on with my day.
Nice.
A couple things I wanted to mention about the week one game that I watched here in the week one game against Miami, though. After the pregame social ended, I took my headphones off, and the bar was really packed. Monday night game, it was pretty packed by that point. Some random guy walks over to me, and he says, "Hey, were you just listening to the pregame social?" And, I had never spoken to him before. And I was like, "Yeah." He said, "Yeah, I saw you take your headphones off, and I figured you might be." Like, those guys at DFW, they're the best.
Well, I figured he was going to say, "I'm never doing that again."
So you got some fans out here. And then the second thing was that Miami game, Bob Kraft's brother was at Sonny's that day, and he was letting some people try on one of the Super Bowl rings. So that was pretty cool.
Nice. Did you get your chance?
I did not.
Oh.
He was on the far side of the bar, and a buddy of mine brought his camera phone over to me and said, hey, look what I just did. But by that point, it was towards the end of the game, and it was a little late, but I thought that was pretty cool, too.
That's very cool, yes, definitely.
So just wanted to check in with you guys. I think I agree with Paul. I thought the Pats were going to load up on the line and run the Bills over today and keep their defense off the field, and now I'm wondering, how they're going to do that with the injuries they have. So it should be interesting to see how that plays out.
Yeah, I still think that they'll run the ball a little bit more today than they have, but I think they'll just do it the same way they always do, and that's how to spread formations. And like Andy said it with Danny Woodhead, I think, is a guy that could have a little bit of a bigger role. He's been a little bit quiet in terms of the number of touches in the first couple of weeks. I think he'll get a little bit more involved today.
Right on. Well, I will check in with you guys again next week. We'll see how we did this week. And thanks, as always, for having me on.
I appreciate it, Johnny. Have fun at Sonny's. And Johnny in L.A., we do have some loyal listeners,
I will say.
Did you see the, and forgive me if...
Are you stepping on my Twitter feed?
Forgive me if I was, preparing something else and missed this, but Adam Schefter evidently reported on the ESPN show, I presume, that Randy Moss now making inquiries about returning. He says there's a list of teams, six teams on the list. Jets are one of them.
I couldn't have less interest.
No, I have not. I really don't.
I think that's below Brett Favre on my interest meter. Do you see Brett Favre can't even commit to the media? You see he's doing, he may have done it actually this week, and he did color for, where'd he go, Southern Miss? Southern Mississippi or whatever.
Southern Miss,
he
yes.
did color, but in the release announcing it, he said, I'm not committing to a broadcasting career. This is simply me doing a game and seeing what it's like from the press. He can't even commit to a media career.
He's horrible. I find him just a detestable figure.
I've always wanted to be a Packer.
It doesn't mean I don't think that he stunk.
I always will be a Packer.
And it doesn't mean that I think he was a terrible player or anything like that.
Unlike some people,
a Hall of Fame quarterback.
I can differentiate between on-field and off-field. I find
Absolutely.
It very easy.
Now, I will say that for the most part, over the last decade, he has not been anywhere near the quarterback that he was. You know, with a couple of individual seasons mixed in, the last one he had in Green Bay when they went to the at 07, because it was the year the Giants beat them, and Giants ended up beating the Patriots in the Super Bowl. I mean, that was a great year he had in Green Bay in 07, and he had a good year with Minnesota that one year. But for the most part, he hasn't been the same guy, and I have no respect for the man off the field, because I loathe the way he operates with the me-first attitude.
Right, but bottom line, he's one of the better quarterbacks that ever played the game.
Do you ever take note of when players generally get on the field before the game, like around the time before the game? Like, are you surprised that so many people are making such a big deal of when Brady made an appearance? I think it's interesting that he's with Ocho, as you said, you know, and they're spending a lot of time together and talking.
Well,
but
with
you,
Brady, I think it's noteworthy.
But is it out of the ordinary? Do you know when?
For Brady, yeah.
Like, well,
he always comes out
fill
in
me
full
in.
Pads, the three quarterbacks.
Okay, so
and
like,
he's out
like,
there
like
in
when?
The pregame. I don't know the time, but
well, that's what I'm saying. They're all saying that he's out there way before he normally is.
Well, he
like,
is.
How would you know?
Because he always comes out at the regular time. He doesn't come out for pregame warm-ups that individual players do. He comes out for the team version of pregame warm-ups with Ryan Mallett and Brian Hoyer, or just Brian Hoyer if he's the active one.
Okay.
Brady never comes out without his pads and helmet, ever. And now he is.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah,
never
the first
noticed.
Time he and it's well known that he often warms up either in a tunnel or in the locker room. He doesn't do the on-field thing. It's always the backups that do the on-field thing with Mike Vrabel and all those guys that come out early to warm up. Ocho's out there today. You know, the whole
and that's
the
like the same
crew.
Time?
What?
Like, you know, like say 2 hours before the game.
Oh, yeah, it's always the same schedule. Yeah, the guys go out, then they go back in,
yeah,
then you start to see the guys trickle out, the return guys, and that next phase is in pads. You have your helmet and pads on, you're ready to play.
Yet another reason why I'm here at Patriots Football Weekly and all the others.
You've never noticed that?
No.
And it's the same.
The time that the guy comes out, I couldn't. I
well,
have
are
no
you talking
idea.
About the actual time? Because I don't think anyone cares about the time.
Well, that's why everybody's tweeting. Much earlier than normal. And
oh, yeah.
Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, I
got into my head. I couldn't tell you when before, how long before a game. Now, in pads, out of pads, sure, that's pretty obvious.
But that's there's
but
a
like
transition
I,
there. Between
I don't
just
see Tom Brady for the first time and look at the clock and say, okay, normally he's out an hour and a half before the game, and then normally he was out today.
But
2 hours.
Not a time related thing. It's
that's what they're making it out to
related thing. Is he in the individual warm ups when people choose to come out, or is he in the quarterbacks are on the field at this time, according to offensive coordinator Bill O'Brien. He usually does the latter. Today, he's doing the former. He's out there warming up with all the guys that are just warming up.
And frankly, with all the stuff that we're doing now, I'm not often in the press box when the players come out to actually see it.
No,
so,
but I mean, it's been the same for 5 years or whatever.
Yeah, no, I can't remember the last time I was in the press box when the players came out for their workouts.
Oh,
you know, and stuff like that, because we're always either doing the Sports Hub or. You know, I'm writing the preview for the next game or doing something. But I just thought it was surprising how many people noted the time that he came out. Not who he came out with. That, to me, is noteworthy. The Ocho thing, that's noteworthy to me. That he's spending time with him, he's jogging with him, talking with him, whatever.
The time is as noteworthy, maybe more so.
Yeah.
He has broken his trend of
I would have dropped the ball on
years.
That because I would not have noticed that was any, you know, 15 minutes earlier than he normally comes out, I couldn't tell you.
He wants to get a feel for the turf. That would be my guess. Because, you know, he didn't like the crown in the old Buffalo Stadium.
Oh, I do recall.
He might have an issue with the crown here.
I do recall, Andy Hart. Let's get to we haven't taken any emails yet today, so I want to get a few of those in.
Breaking news, Rossi Dowling is the final inactive.
Oh,
Ross Eye.
That's not
Ross Eye Dowling.
Not terribly surprising.
No, but not terribly good
encouraging
news.
But no.
I'm going to tell you what could be terribly the play of the Patriots secondary today. I have my concerns.
You know, it's interesting. And before I get to James in Brisbane's email, my dad called me this morning and he was talking about that. You know, geez, you know, the defense has been so bad. Now they're missing Chung and Hainsworth. And I said, you know what? How much worse can it get? I mean,
well,
they're not
I would say that.
They're not playing well.
Right.
So if guys that aren't playing well are out, I mean, not that I'm saying Chung wasn't playing well, because I think Chung was playing well. But I don't think you have a Tom Brady over there that you say, wow, this is the guy that really holds it all together. If you're missing guys that are struggling, and I say that struggling as a collective, how much worse can it get?
See,
you're going to give up 500 yards today throwing instead of 400?
To me, it's not the yards. It's how it goes about it. I think you could start to see jailbreak-type plays where you're just seeing 60-yard play after 60-yard
play. Yeah, listen, it's not good. It's not good that you're missing these guys.
That's what I think you could see, and I think that snowballs to the other side of the ball, and Brady feels pressure. You don't have the same amount of time. I mean, there's a difference between giving up 20-yard passes and giving up touchdowns, you know, big plays that we
the game at San Diego
a few years back where Delph O'Neal got bitch slapped,
right.
The game in New Orleans.
I'm exaggerating a little bit.
They literally, the offense loses its ability to keep up.
Yeah.
And that would be what I think the next step could be. And I think, I don't want to be Mr. Negative, but I think there's a chance you could see something like that today. I doubt it because,
what did I just say?
Phillip Rivers, Drew Brees. If they were playing a team like that, I would be utterly concerned today about the big plays down the field and the potential for the communication to look downright embarrassing.
Yeah, I'm exaggerating a little bit, but I think you understand what my point is. I'm not saying that it can't get worse.
Oh, it can.
It can. I mean, obviously, you're putting backups in for guys. I mean, even if those guys aren't very good, they're better than the backups. So, yeah, it can get worse. But to me, I'd be far more concerned if you started chipping away at the reason why the offense was good. And, you know, in other words, if you lost a guy that
like Aaron Hernandez.
Well, if he lost, but if he chipped away, the defense is missing four or five Aaron Hernandezes. And now all of a sudden Brady has no one to throw it to, or God forbid Brady was out of the game, I think you'd see a much bigger drop off. James in Brisbane.
Wow, breaking news off the Twitter.
Wow.
VIP strippers. Who's one of our regular listeners to this show, PFW in Progress, and everything that is
sure
Patriots
is.
Football Weekly, the Fred Kirsch Empire. My official prediction, Bills win. Bills win.
No way. No, you know what? Listen.
It's so ridiculous.
Andy Hart have been on and I have been on this kick for about 3 years now. At some point.
Oh, yeah.
At some point.
It's not today, though.
You're going to lose. But I'm not going to. I'm certainly not going to predict it.
Oh, I might at some point, but
I'm gonna,
not today.
No, I'm saying I'm never going to.
You go in the Mike Reese route. You think they're going to lose one of the next two games. You just won't pick them to lose
one
of the next two games.
I don't think they're going to lose today. I don't. I picked 38-27. That's what my pick is, and I'm sticking with it.
Then stick with it.
I am. What I'm saying is I do think at some point this winning streak is going to end.
I am not going to lose than it is to
win. I am not going to predict it to end. I will never pick Buffalo in this game until that winning streak is over because I think that there's a lot of mental baggage that comes in this game for Buffalo, even though there's not a lot of players that have been involved in a lot of those games. I think it weighs on them. James is in Brisbane. And it's about 1 a.m. there. He has been awake since 10 a.m., won't be sleeping until 7 a.m. after the Pats game. Just gotten home from a friend's place watching the Formula One race on TV. You like Formula One, Andy?
No.
Like cars?
No.
You know, Luigi and Guido?
Oh, I like, what's his name? The Italian one that he races in cars too?
I forget. I don't
know. Francesco something.
Dario Franchitti? That's
the real guy's name.
I see what you're saying, in the actual name in cars. And then he gets all mad and walks. They ride away when they realize that he's just a regular Piston Cup guy. Anyway, trying to hold off from overdoing the caffeine until closer to kickoff. It's a one-man tailgate here. Tailgate, as Fred Kirsch would say, at his house. You guys are running on the laptop, and Madden 12 is running on the PS3, getting ready to watch the game. Two thoughts. First of all, who will have more catches, Ocho or Edelman?
Ocho.
I'm going to say Ocho as well. The only reason I ask is because I have a theory that Edelman is actually a better option as a slot receiver than Ocho, and he is a more natural replacement as a wide receiver in that Hernandez role.
But I don't think they're going to just run out the same offense they've used the first couple weeks. That's the difference.
I agree.
This offense is very diverse. We've seen them do a variety of things in training camp or dating back to last year, And let's remember, I mean, both the guys that are out there are better in the slot role, Deion Branch and Wes Welker. So you're going to see a different personnel grouping. I just think Ocho is going to have a big day. I think he's going to be a big part, and he's going to have a big chance. Now he needs to complete that final step, which is catching the football and making the plays when they come.
Yeah. James's last question, given Mesko's situation. Now, certainly he's active and well enough to punt, but do you think that that affects their fourth down decisions in any way during the course of the game?
That's hard to answer. I would say no. Logically, I would say if he's on the field, he has to play, and he's expected to contribute, because why would you have a punter active if he can't punt? That makes no sense to me. So I'm assuming he's ready to go and punt. But Bill Belichick admitted last week, or said last week, that his fourth down decision was indeed affected by Mesko's health. I can't see any way you go into a game with a punter who's going to affect your decision-making.
Do you think there's any chance that maybe he sort of exaggerated that a little bit?
Sure, there's always a chance. I have no idea. I can't get inside Bill Belichick's head. He and I think about as differently, I think, as two human beings can.
I think that he would have gone for that regardless.
Maybe.
And I think that was a convenient way to say,
I just try to take
let's not dredge up all the fourth down stuff again, because I'll be honest with you, there's a lot more failed fourth downs than people even bring up anymore.
Well, yeah, but that's the nature of the beast. It happens. They've also had a lot of big ones where they make them, and it's important. And I think it sends a great message to his team. So, but I just take him at his word. If he's going to go up to a podium and hold a press conference and say something, I have to assume that's the truth. You know, I'm not in the business of trying to read between the lines.
I am not saying that it wasn't the truth. I'm saying that he may have exaggerated how much that weighed in. I think he might have been saying to himself, I want to go for this anyway. And oh, by the way, I don't know what I'm going to get out of my punter. So it might be...
I'm just going with yes.
Do you know what I'm saying?
He made that decision.
I mean, does that make any sense at all?
It would make sense, but...
I don't think he lied.
I can't...
I don't think he lied, and it had nothing to do with it at all. I'm saying, I want to go for this anyway, and... you know, this might be a good way for me to avoid.
I just think it'll have zero effect today. Zero. Because he's out there. He's healthy. He only has one job. If he can't do that job, he wouldn't be active.
I agree with that wholeheartedly. If he wasn't ready to punt, then he wouldn't be out there. Let's stick with the emails here for a little bit. And let's see. What do we got here? Scott is in Leeds, England. He says, what do y'all think of the whole campaign right now? This seems to be a move afoot that teams are already in the Andrew Luck sweepstakes mindset, trying their best to position themselves to get in that situation. Scott says, my initial reaction was, don't be so ridiculous, but it does make a lot of sense if and when teams tank it. But would players do that, even if a coach tried to? Their whole lives, these players have tried to win. And would the NFL care if teams tank their season enough to make a lottery? I'd be keen to hear your arguments. I mean, thoughts. Pro Football Talk put out a post saying that there's a possibility of a draft lottery.
I don't care for it.
Oh, I hate lotteries. I hate draft lotteries in general, but I don't think the NFL will do it either.
I don't either, and the getting back to the players competing, I think this gets back to what Bill Belichick always says. The players on the field compete, but coaches can make decisions that hinder their team's ability to win football games. It doesn't mean you're telling Josh Barrett to miss a tackle. It means maybe Josh Barrett doesn't play, maybe Ross Ventrone's playing, maybe you're not going as in-depth in your game plan to what you actually think would be the best thing to do. So I think if a tanking takes place, it's on the coach's level, not the player's level.
Well, that's definite, but I also don't think tanking takes place in September.
Yeah, I don't either. I mean,
you know, I mean, the Colts...
Although, theoretically, you have to tank from the beginning in the NFL, because most times the number one overall pick is a team that's won two wins. I mean,
right, but I think
you win three games in the first 2 months, you could be out.
Right, but my point is, in order to do that, you have to be off to a bad start. And once you're off to that bad start, then you can do it. I don't think, in other words, that the Colts or the Chiefs have dumped intentionally.
No, I don't think those teams have.
A matter of fact, I think you can make an argument that the Chiefs, specifically, if they had the number one pick, I'm not sure they would take Andrew Luck. They just made a big investment in a quarterback. Now, things can change. It's 2 years in now, and maybe they've decided Matt Castle's just not the guy to take us to the next level. I'm sure that they have that contract structured in a way that wouldn't kill him, you know, down the road. And maybe you have Castle again for another year, and while Luck, you know, gets ready, But I don't think it's a foregone conclusion that that would be the direction they would go. Do you believe that?
I think they would. I think they probably would. I think they've probably decided that Matt Cassel is not the great weapon that they were hoping or thought he'd be. I don't know for sure. I'm not sold on Andrew Luck, so that's my problem. I'm not 100% in on Luck is LeBron James. I think he's a good quarterback prospect. I'm not sure
it's
that he's
LeBron
even
James.
Well, I mean, that's what you're talking about. You're talking about people funny. Saying there are no questions asked. We want a tank from September, so we get Andrew Luck because he will put us in the postseason. He's a franchise guy. I'm not sure he's as good or better than Sam Bradford. I think Bradford was better, personally, right now. That's my feeling, that Bradford was a better franchise quarterback
prospect. I haven't seen enough of...
I admittedly haven't either, but from what I've seen, I'm just not sold as a can't-miss prospect. I just don't see it.
And this is another thing that you and I talked about, the whole Pac-12 thing, and you know, you're making the... You know, this mega conference out there, and it quite possibly could turn out to be the Pac-16. No one sees the games.
Right.
I mean, when I say no one, I mean no one of importance on the East Coast like us. There's just, you know, your marquee games are shut off to such a large portion of the country. You know, I haven't seen enough of Andrew Luck, and I think that he's a pretty good player, but, you know, quite frankly, I'm not sure he is. I'm just not sure he is. We are at the halfway point, Andy Hart. This is a quick-moving show today. We're going to have we have a lot more emails coming in, and keep those coming in at webradio@patriots.com.
A lot of tweets, too. Hashtag PPGS.
Yes.
Send your photos. I want to see how you use eggs in your 1 o'clock pregame tailgating. Eggs.
Hey, it's Jim from Ace Ticket, Boston's very own ticket agency. Ace Ticket is based here in Boston, so we know every seat in every venue. We're Boston fans just like you, from Boston sports to concert and theater. Whether you need one ticket or 100, Ace has you covered. So treat yourself or someone special. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com and take advantage of our free and easy pickup at our Fenway Park or Boston Garden location. That's 1-800-MY-SEATS.
1-800-MY-SEATS. Is that bacon I smell?
Grandma must be cooking.
She makes everything with bacon. Bacon pie, bacon shrimp, bacon on the cob.
I know one thing that tastes better than her cooking.
What's that?
The new Bacon McDouble from McDonald's. It's made with 2 savory pieces of bacon, melty American cheese.
Mm, that sounds better than anything Grandma can whip up.
I heard that.
The new Bacon McDouble is here. Right now, you can get 2 Bacon McDoubles or 2 large fries or one of each for just $3.33. Price of single item posted on menu board. Price and participation may vary for a limited time.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with cheese combo.
Oh, will that be all?
That's it.
Go, Birds!
What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go, Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help.
I'll just take this when you're ready.
Oh, here you go.
Go, Pats!
Indeed, go, Pats.
With Patriots checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit card.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open.
Whoops. Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. And account setup fee may apply in some states.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Health Care Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only 4-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epochere. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
This is Patriots linebacker Gerard Mayo, and you are listening to the Patriots pregame social on the Patriots Facebook page.
Back for the second hour of the JetBlue Patriots pregame social here in the Subway Fresh Broadcast Studios. Paul Perillo and Andy Hart with you, talking about the Buffalo Bills, the surprising 2-0 Buffalo Bills, and wondering where they're going to get the defense, not the offense, but the defense to sort of slow the Patriots down. Can you keep them under 30, something that no team has been able to do in the last 10 regular season games? I don't think they can, Andy, and I'm pretty sure you don't think they can either.
Well, I don't, but I think there's some interesting things. Chris Brown of the Bills Digest, who joined us earlier, talking about overloading the offensive right side, defensive left side. You know, they have some guys. He talked about Merriman is still sort of a limited player at this point in his return to where they hope he's going to get to as a pass rusher. But, you know, a guy like Kelsey, and you look at the two interior guys. I know Kyle Williams, not a huge pass rusher, more of a high motor guy, as Albert Haynesworth would put it. Although, interesting, the high motor guy is playing today, and the other guy isn't.
And the low motor guy is on the sideline where he normally is.
Marcell Dareus, bit of an unknown as a young player, but he's a guy that can make some plays. We know Brady doesn't like to be pressured from the inside. We know that Dan Conley is starting at center. So I think there's some reason there, if you're a Bills fan, to say, maybe we can get some pressure up the middle. Maybe we can take advantage of Solder, the rookie at right tackle. Maybe we can take advantage of the fact that they don't have these multiple tight end sets to keep in and help out Solder. You know, Gronkowski, do you want to lose him in the passing game? And that actually transitions me to a Twitter question we had about Gronkowski. Will he get more attention today? Will that decrease his fantasy value? I don't think the attention when he goes out for pass receptions will be a concern. I think he can beat virtually any matchup against him, and I think this offense is good enough that he'll still make plays when he's out in pass routes. My concern would be, is he kept in to help protect? Is he helping out either Matt Light or Nate Solder, maybe some of these overload blitzes that Chris Brown of the Bills Digest thinks the Buffalo could send at them? But I think that could limit his fantasy value today. So if you have him on your roster, Rob Gronkowski, I would caution he could be kept into block on occasion today.
That's a good point. The Bills inactives are out as well, Andy, and our old friend Lee Smith is among them. Fifth-round pick, tight end out of where is he out of? Why do I draw in a blank and where's he out of? Marshall, thank you. I'll tell you, don't let age get to you, Andy Hart.
Yeah, stay I don't ever want to be like you.
Stay 10 years behind. But obviously most of those guys that are out for the Bills were declared out on Friday. Terrence McGee and Kirk Morris and Craig Urbick. But, yeah, Lee Smith added to that group as well. And on the flip side, we can get a great insight from Eric Scalavino when he calls in later, because Ryan Mallett will be in uniform today. That's big, big.
How's that going for us?
Can
he play corner or safety?
What were you going to say?
Can Mallett play corner or safety? Because other than that, he would have good height in some matchups against taller receivers.
Literally,
you could see Antoine Molden, Phillip Adams,
yep,
Ross Ventrone,
James Ahedibo.
Well, at least Ahedibo we've seen on the field play defense. I mean, literally, those three guys could be, you know, I use the word loosely, contributors on defense today. Phillip Adams just got here.
These are the defensive backs that are available in this game. Devin McCourty, Antoine Molden, Lee Bodden, Kyle Arrington, Phillip Adams, Josh Barrett, James Ahedibo, Sergio Brown, and Ross Ventrone.
And they're all hurt, most of them.
Yeah, most of them have a cast on
their hand. The ones you know are hurt. They're wearing a cast, or with Lee Bodden, it's a different injury every week that keeps him, you know, from missing some practice.
Yeah,
time.
And I think I'm probably being a little bit guilty of a little arrogance here and not worrying so much about it, but the secondary, as Andy Hart unfolded quite well in the first 10 minutes of the program today, the secondary is an area to watch today, because you're going to have some guys out there that aren't used to being out there, haven't been out there together with this system, and they're going to have opportunities to make plays, and whether or not they can make those plays is going to, I think, go a long way to determine how well Buffalo's offense is able to keep up with the Patriots' offense.
Another quick update from Twitter answering a question. Yes, there's one tight end. His name is Rob Gronkowski. Dan Gronkowski was released. Aaron Hernandez is not healthy, and they did not call up Garrett Mills or anything. The call-up to the active roster was Ross Ventrone on the defensive/special team side of the ball. So you're understanding things correctly. Let's play another game, Paul. Who could play tight end today? And don't pick a boring offensive lineman.
Who could play tight end today?
Let me say, who could play offense today that isn't necessarily an offensive skill position player? Could we see a defensive lineman at fullback if they wanted to pound it? Motioning? One of those guys like, I don't know.
Well, we've seen Dane Fletcher play a little fullback.
Could he play tight end?
You know, could he play tight end with a cast on?
Jermaine Cunningham, could he play tight end? I don't know. I'm just getting creative here. I think we might see some creativity at some point today from somewhere.
All right, I'll go with your boy then. You know, we've been calling him Vrabel for how long?
Oh, Ninko. I like it.
I'll go with Ninko.
Maybe we'll see Ninko. That'd be fun.
He's got good hands.
That'd be fun.
He's got good hands. So, you know, listen, that's a good point because they might just need some sort of body to get out there, and I'm not sure an offensive lineman is the best option.
Right.
Listen, they're pretty thin in the offensive line, too.
Ninko's a solid guess.
Ninko.
I like Ninko.
Ninko's a guy. He's a guy. He could factor into that. We're going to get back to the emails because we have a ton of them in here, and I want to try
read
to get
them, Fred Kirsch. Read
I want to try to get as many people participating as possible. Let's see. Thomas in Waterbury, Connecticut, so not too far away. I'm worried as you are. The secondary is very thin in bodies and especially in experience. How worried should we be against the Bills' high-flying offense? It even sounds funny when I read it. It's as I said, Andy Hart broke this down quite well in the very first 10 minutes of the show.
That's what I do.
You did.
What did I say?
Well, you just talked about how you have the situation where you're going to have guys like maybe C.J. Spiller, for example, a dynamic playmaker in space going against a guy who has not been in that position often or at all as a New England Patriot. That's something to be concerned about. You have a lot of guys that haven't played that are going to play today.
I think you're going to end this game with one of those, and I know Bill says every week, really proud of the guys and blah, blah, blah. I think he will truly, truly mean it when he comes to the podium victorious today, because he's going to be talking about guys, Phillip Adams thrust into action, Ross Ventrone thrust into action, or Rob Ninkovich playing tight end. Whatever the case may be, he is truly going to be raving about guys stepping up, showing some versatility, and getting the job done under some adverse conditions, so to speak.
And he said that last week after the San Diego game, and I think he meant it then.
Well, then it was
because there were a lot of guys that really
I think it could be tenfold worse today.
I think there were guys last week that finished that game that wouldn't have under normal circumstances, but they just had a situation where someone had to be out there.
Yeah, but that's my point. Like Patrick Chung finished the game with a cast on. You had a voice back there. You don't have a voice today.
Yeah.
I mean, I like Josh Barrett. I think he's very intriguing in terms of his size and athleticism, but he certainly isn't the James Sanders calming force back there because he's so comfortable in the defense.
Correct.
He couldn't possibly be, and it's not his fault. They just have no experience back there.
Boy, Pete in Hampshire, Hampshire, England. What did James say last week? He made fun of Eric for saying Hampshire. Hampshire. It's Hampshire.
It's sure, yeah. Shire.
Yeah, and he made fun of our...
what are you mumbling in the background?
Our boy Scals.
It's Hampshire, not Hampshire.
Hampshire. Pete in Hampshire, England. He says...
It's actually Pate.
He says, Dear Neg and Head. I guess I'm negative and you're the head, obviously. I mean, that's pretty clear. When's the trading deadline? Week 6, I believe.
I believe that is correct.
With all the secondary problems, was hoping that the rumors that they might trade a second round pick plus more to get Asante Samuel back.
Yeah, I don't see that happening.
I don't think the Eagles want to trade him. I think the hard part there is getting the cap situated and getting yourself all set. They've done that. They've done the hard part, right? You have those guys. Sure. I think you need that secondary the way it is with Philadelphia. But, yes, I would take Asante Samuel back in a heartbeat. Don't the Pats need at least one more corner who can cover one-on-one? Was he letting Page go? Was letting Page go simply a mistake? And he also was worried about Garrett Mills. Andy talked about that. He has not been elevated from the practice squad.
Yeah, Millsy is on the practice squad. I mean, if you're looking at positions of need, I wouldn't put corner at the top of the list right now. I still think safety is your biggest need because I thought it was the biggest need coming into the season, and now you've lost the only sure thing you had at that position, Patrick Chung. Not a long-term injury.
Correct.
I'm expecting it to be short-term, but this is proving how thin you were there. I mean, you're going to start, in all likelihood, Sergio Brown, an undrafted player, and Josh Barrett, a guy who spent last year his first in New England on IR. I mean, that just shows you have not a lot to work with there.
You think I'm negative, right?
Yes.
And you think you're negative too, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. But this is the height of negativity.
Eric's emailing in.
This is our boy Todd in Nova Scotia, who I believe is a little tongue-in-cheek here. Late to the show if you've already covered this, but does Bill activating Mallett mean he has no confidence in the D stopping the Bills? So if Brady goes out, he will need Mallett's downfield arm to keep pace.
Well done.
Yes, that's the kind of negativity that only Andy and I can appreciate.
Paul, they're starting to realize it on Twitter. Jay Coughlin, 12. No underscore,
that's,
which I like.
That's James in Brisbane.
Oh, that's our buddy James. Wait. Do we only have one active tight end? Yes, you only have one active tight end. That is a concern for a team that, I don't know, two-thirds of the time over the first 2 weeks was a two-tight-end offense.
Absolutely.
You and don't have an extra one, and you don't have a guy to help out at right tackle like you did.
And if you want to combine last year as well, predominantly it's been a multiple tight-end offense for the last year plus two games.
But at least you can put Ocho in at receiver or Edelman in at receiver and say, okay, we've fulfilled some of Hernandez's duties in terms of pass catching. If you want to help out Nate Solder at right tackle or Matt Light at left tackle, you lose one of your best offensive weapons, and his name is Rob Gronkowski. So there are definitely domino effects to the health situation right now. It's not just the obvious, okay, we got a Hernandez, blah, blah, blah. There's a trail. It leads down, and it's a slippery slope, and it's not good.
I want to go to John now, and he says he's a big Clemson fan. He watched every college game that C.J. Spiller played. He won Clemson at least three games by beating people on wheel routes.
Oh, yeah.
I have seen teams see it coming, put their best corner on Spiller in the wheel route, and still get beat. I know college playmaking does not translate to pro playmaking, but if Buffalo uses him more as a receiver, who is going to cover him? That's a good question. Patriots linebackers have had trouble covering average running backs out of the backfield, like Mike Tolbert, for example.
Yeah, no, it sounds like they're going to use him out in the slot, which means he could be matched up against Bodden, he could be matched up against Kyle Arrington, he could be matched up against one of the safeties. Certainly don't want to see him next to Kyle Arrington because, in my opinion, that's a major athletic mismatch. Yeah. Well, let's be honest. He's an athletic mismatch against a lot of guys he's going to go up against. But there's also a difference between covering a guy out of the slot and covering him on a wheel route. You know, in motion, it's almost like Canadian football on the wheel route where the running back is at full speed when he hits the line of scrimmage. There's a difference between trying to get off the line, run your routes, and the timing of the passing game there. So I'm not just going to assume that he's going to be a great receiver, lining up at receiver. What scares me is, if you do allow him to catch the football, what he can do after that with the ball in his hands.
Right.
Because as I said, you miss a tackle on him, and that six-yard reception is 60. Thanks for playing.
John finishes up by saying he watches the game with his son at home, and they tailgate outside watching the game on TV. Hot dog bar. Hot dog bar. I'm intrigued.
Nice. That's my idea for Schwings. My restaurant's going to have a gourmet hot dog bar where you get the hot dogs and then you have like 50 toppings you can put on it.
The next part is kind of gross, though, with chocolate milk and chips.
I like chocolate milk.
I like chocolate milk, too, but with a hot dog bar and chips? Chocolate milk?
Oh, yeah.
Milk and chips?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh, that's disgusting.
Oh, yeah. Chocolate milk. Not regular milk. Chocolate milk.
You
put it over the
top.
You,
my friend, are disgusting.
I would drink that. That's yummy.
Matt.
And that's the answer to the morning tailgate. You can't be drinking too early, so you have your chocolate milk.
Oh, stop it. It's not that early. It's afternoon in South Carolina.
Oh, don't be so provincial. We're global.
Drink. Drink to get drunk. Hi-ho. How are we doing on the latest Facebook poll?
The latest Facebook poll is, which offensive player needs to step up most with only one healthy tight end?
Easy answer.
This is by far and away a blowout. Chad Ochocinco at 76%. Next closest person is Ben Jarvis Green Ellis at 8%, and I'm taking Andy's favorite would be Danny Woodhead is only at 5%.
No. My favorite would be Ochocinco, but I think Woodhead is going to have a big impact in the game today. But the answer is Ochocinco. Fans, as always, are smart and getting it right on Facebook because they listen to the pregame social, and we point them in the right direction.
That's right.
Andy, as you know, this show is about the fans, and it's about monitoring how they go about watching each and every game. So what we like to do as part of the Patriots pregame social here, sponsored by JetBlue, is head to a fan club and check in. So this week we're going to do so with Dean with the Pats Fan Club of Rochester. Dean, how are you doing?
Good. How are you doing today?
We appreciate you taking some time to join us. How are you watching this game?
Well, we are going to be in the upper deck. But we got 30 fans sitting together, and we got 50 fans here tailgating in the parking lot just by the field house. So we're having a good time.
Nice. You seeing a lot of birds from the Bills so far, Bills fans?
You know what? They've been actually okay. They'll yell something, and then they'll say, but you know what? If you go talk to them, they're like, Brady's awesome. You know, what are you going to say? Nobody can argue with that, you know?
You know what that proves? That proves it's an early game and they're not lubed up yet, as Tom Brady would say.
Me. I was here a couple years ago when they flexed us to a night game, and it was a little ridiculous. But, you know, you just kind of grin and smile and know that your team's better, you know? What are you going to do?
So what's
there's a lot of Patriots fans here, too.
Yes, I've read some tweets of that. A lot of Patriots jerseys, and they expect that there could be a loud presence in the stadium today.
I think so. The lot we're in is a lot of Patriots fans. It's just... we seem to be coming back to the same area every year, and people are kind of catching on. So we're surrounded by Patriots fans.
What's on the tailgate menu today? I'm intrigued. This is our first 1 o'clock game of the season,
and last evidently.
We got our grill going a little late. We were having some issues, but we got it going. And believe it or not, a Bills fan let us borrow his grill, so that was kind of nice.
Oh, that's sweet.
Yeah, it's really nice.
That's an NFL.com commercial right there. That should be a commercial, how the NFL brings people together, sharing of the grill at an away game. That's tremendous.
I got to take a picture of our chef grilling next to a Bills fan that has a Brady Swallow shirt on. It's pretty funny.
Nice. Send that into our Facebook page or TwitPic it to PPGS.
I'll do that.
Yeah, we want to get that up there. We might
excellent.
Have to.
I'll go do that. Yeah.
But, webradio at Patriots.com.
We got chili on the menu, Angus burgers. Zweigel sausage. Zweigel's a company from Rochester.
Nice.
Red Hots, Mac salad, chips, you know, all the beverages, all that stuff. So, we kind of put it together last minute, but it came together good, and we got our 30 guys from Rochester plus 20 people that found our website and just said, can we come tailgate with you?
That's cool.
Come on over. So it's a good time.
Good stuff. And Andy and I got a chance to spend some time in Rochester last year when we got stuck in Buffalo. Stuck being a bad word.
Excellent. Well, next time, we
had the opportunity.
Come over to our Patriots bar in Rochester.
Will do. Next time I'm in Rochester, I promise I'll stop by.
Excellent.
Dean, thanks.
There's a place called Moe's Mulberry Street, and they've got Patriots stuff up for us, and we watch the game every week there on a 50-inch plasma and make a lot of noise. Mini Foxborough, we call it.
Awesome.
Well, as long as there's Miller Lights and Buffalo wings, I'm in.
Yeah, cool. Yeah, well, lots of wings. They got tons of wing specials, so you got to love it. No, we've got a good crew up here, about 75 members. 20 to 30 show up every week to watch the game, and we've been going for 17 years. So
great.
A lot of fun.
Excellent stuff, Dean, and I hope you enjoy the game today and get another Patriots win, and stay safe, because I know sometimes when they lose there, those, you know, fun, happy-go-lucky Buffalo fans that you got a chance to meet early, doesn't always go that way when we drive out of Buffalo. So
You're right about that. We'll stick together, and we'll have a good time, and go Patriots.
And take that picture, send us a photo, email it into webradio@patriots.com, okay? We want that picture.
You got it, brother. I'll do it right now.
Thank you, man.
Thanks, Dean.
All right.
Dean's with the...
You'd think the Bills fans would be better losers. They're used to it.
Well, absolutely.
I mean, they lost every Super Bowl they went to,
Listen,
and they've been losing for a decade now.
It's almost never a picnic when you drive into a visiting stadium, but there's no experience quite like going into Ralph Wilson Stadium. You get full cans of beer rifled at the bus. Now, what do I say, Andy Hart? That's a waste of a beer. What are you doing?
That's why you're supposed to use snowballs. And let's be honest, I know you're saying it's September, but generally you can get snow in September in Buffalo.
We have a first-time writer and avid follower of the show named Brett, who is chiming in on the email, so I want to get to him. The Bills might not win this game, but expect them to be there in the end to possibly pass the Jets for the wild card. I love the quarterback play. I think Ryan Fitzpatrick reminds me of a young Favre. This kid's got game and is the second-best quarterback in the AFC East. Look for a close game. I think Chad's going to have a seven-catch day. Look for the pass to drive home Benny on the ground and pound to keep the ball and time of possession away from that hot Bills offense. I listened to the show for 5 years and never wrote in or called, but you dudes are clowns. That's absolutely true. I love it, and keep up the good work. And he's Brett, stuck in Philly hell. Brett, thanks for participating in the show. I that's what we need.
Have
we
you
need...
seen that bell? Not all it's
not
cracked
all
up
it's
to
cracked
be.
Up to be.
Nice.
Ryan has an easy question for you, Andy, so I'm going to give it to you. What do the Patriots have to do to come up with a win over the Bills?
Just keep throwing the ball like they've been throwing it. Tom Brady, same exact game plan. Throw the ball on offense, spread them around. That may be tweaked a little to get Woodhead a little bit more involved this week, Ocho a little bit more involved this week, but the exact same thing on offense, and theoretically the same thing on defense. If you get one or two turnovers here, okay, turn out the lights, the show is over. Paul will give his little overrated, irrelevant nod, and we can all go home happy.
Right. Bill is in Carlsbad now, and he's formerly the good Bill in San Diego. He's looking for Eric's postcard. Slacking off again, huh?
No, he just posted it.
He did post
it.
I retweeted it. He did post the postcard, so, you know, he's winging it in Buffalo.
Did he go to the Anchor Bar?
I don't know.
Did he man up and actually go to the Anchor Bar?
That's what he wrote on the tweet.
Nice.
Winging it in Buffalo.
There's nothing quite like the Anchor Bar experience, whether it's overrated, whether first, whatever you want to say. When you get that big platter of wings, you get like 80 or 100 wings, go with a group. Tremendous.
I love it. I love it, and I miss that's
Matt
one,
LePan
one
behind
trip.
The glass is actually rubbing his stomach right now as drool dribbles down his belly.
80 wings. Nothing sounds better than that right now.
Yeah, just so you know, I pooped my pants after one of those trips. I was in the elevator going back to my room because I knew I had to go to the bathroom and a little squirted out into my shorts.
Brooklyn Matt wants.
And don't pretend none of you people listening while tailgating have ever pooped your pants at a tailgate. It happens. You eat, you drink, and all of a sudden you lose control of your bodily functions.
Did you just ask if anybody at a tailgate has ever lost control of their bodily functions
and
pooped their pants?
Yes, and I guarantee they have. Thank you. Everybody has.
I'm sorry, but I'm part of everybody, and I've never pooped my pants in my life.
You have three holes which could squirt something out at a tailgate.
Since I was a baby.
And there is no doubt in my mind that everybody who's ever gone to a very good tailgate has either squirted from their urethra, would that be the proper term to include women, their butt, or their mouth. Thank you. Proceed.
Wait a minute. You said pooping pants.
Yeah, but you could also pee yourself or vomit.
I've never peed myself or pooped myself as an adult.
So have you puked?
Have I puked? Yes.
Okay, so you've been included in my group. Oh, well, then you haven't been to a good tailgate. Proceed. Read an email.
Maybe I just watched the game for enjoyment of watching the game.
That's why they call you Boring Paul.
Brooklyn, because I don't throw up at football games. Because
you don't poop your pants.
Right. If you eat enough wings to poop your pants, you're cool. If pooping your pants is cool, then I'm Miles Davis.
I knew where you were going. Brooklyn Matt says he wants to know if you could keep it down. He's trying to watch the CBS pregame show.
There's nothing exciting on the CBS pregame show.
I don't really like Brooklyn Matt, but that was kind of funny. And you said he had another funny earlier.
He was very funny on the blog when I posted the inactives last night. And he said, oh, I'm not worried about that. We'll just plug in James Sanders. Wait, what? You know, something along those lines, which is the mentality it should be. They should have James Sanders to plug in here. I will go to my grave not understanding why they couldn't cut Merriweather and keep Sanders. Hopefully not anytime soon, going to my grave, because I don't really want to die yet.
Adrian is in Sussex, England.
Yo, Adrian!
You want an unexpected playmaker? Why not Nate Solder, a converted tight end? I reckon he'll be declared eligible at some point, probably on the left side. Tight end in a goal line formation, and he'll catch a ball for a short yardage touchdown. That's my crazy prediction for today.
Wait, who's going to play tackle?
Yeah. The problem with that is that he is starting at right tackle this week. So, in order to do that...
Now, if you went unbalanced
left, you'd have to
put
somebody else in the game.
Put Rob Gronkowski at right tackle, unbalanced left, maybe?
Or you could do... I suppose it's possible.
I don't think it's likely.
I think it's highly unlikely.
A bold prediction on Twitter.
But he did say it's a crazy prediction, so let's not beat up on the man.
Bold prediction on Twitter through Jeff Howe, our friend at Nesson. People are predicting that Ryan Mallett could get some run as an extra tight end. I don't think so.
I think that would be insane.
Me too. It's bold. I thought it was bold prediction portion of the show.
But, I mean, isn't bold prediction sort of like something that's based in some kind of reality? Like
it's tall. Tight ends are tall.
Doesn't have a whole lot of athleticism.
No, I know. I just said he was tall. I just said he was tall. What do you want me to do?
So he's tall. Okay.
It wasn't my prediction.
That rules out Vince Wilfork. He's not that tall.
Why is he berating me? It's not my prediction.
I'm berating the people who...
Looking like Peyton Manning last year running down the field.
Peyton Manning, tight end. He's tall.
I think you're an a-hole.
I think
being mean to a fan.
I think that's a little silly.
I'm never mean to fans.
I wasn't a fan. It was you.
Wasn't?
It was actually Jeff Howe, who is a friend of us.
No, it was somebody through Jeff Howe. It was a fan.
Oh. All right. Well, that makes sense now. Because why?
Because I like fans, and they're very nice.
Well, you know why.
Yeah, I don't agree with you.
Brett, next up. Headed over to the Jelly Donut in Pleasanton, California to get my pregame coffee and donuts. It's the Jelly Donut. Meeting up the rest of the East Bay Patriots at the Tower Grill in Danville, California to watch the game. We haven't
Danville! Like on Phineas and Ferb?
The tri-state area?
Yeah.
Looking forward to seeing the Pats play in person next week at the Mausoleum. So he's going to head over to the O.co Coliseum in Oakland.
O.co.
What the hell does that mean?
Yeah, O.co.
It's a website.
It's Overstock.com.
Now it's O.co
Coliseum. O.co Coliseum. That's the name of the place in Oakland.
I've heard of Overstock.com. I didn't know they changed it.
O.co. Matt is absolutely correct. Thank you, Matt.
Dumb.
Absolutely. I think the pregame social is a great idea. It's great to have some of the trademark PFW wit in sarcasm on the weekends. Well, thanks, Brett. I'm glad someone appreciates us.
It's about time. It's been years we've been trying to get somebody to appreciate us.
All right, we're getting ready to head down the home stretch here.
Which
on our
Patriot?
First 1 o'clock.
Are you getting ready to go to break?
I am getting, but you have time. We have time.
Could we have a debuting Patriot who has an impact today? Shane Vereen?
Fred Kirsch jumping on the Ryan Mallett bandwagon. He says, Mallett dress, backup punter. He's tall.
Does he have, can he kick?
I don't know. Evidently, that's not a requirement to play tight end. Can he run? Can he catch? No. Can he block? No.
But literally, you could line up at tight end and just, like, get in the
stand
way.
Stand there?
Yes. At punter, if you just stand there, the ball will bounce off your face, and then you'll get smashed. I think the backup punter, my two predictions, as always, are the boring one, which I call the Eric Scalavino prediction, is Steven Gostkowski, because he's obviously a kicker. And you know.
Oh, who would punt?
And the second one, you don't really listen, do you? And the second one is Chad Ochocinco. He's a soccer player.
Welker and Ochocinco, absolutely. I mean, they have kicking experience.
I think you have to have a longer leg to be a, don't you? All the punters are a little taller. Remember we had the little short dude and he didn't stick very long?
Bogger.
Yeah.
Dude was stacked.
You can't have a short punter. Punters have to have a long leg. So Ochocinco gets the nod over Wes.
You are correct, and there's probably something to that as to why that all punters seem
to be. Oh, I'm sure it has to do
tall.
With vectors Physics. And fulcrums and everything and yeah, all that.
Victor?
Yeah, you know, you got your vector at your angle of insertion.
All right, before we head to our final break of the day, Robert in Alaska is a little upset with you. He gives you due credit for finding new ways to display your immaturity at all times, but he thought this was the Patriots pregame social, not Patriots poop talk.
No one goes to the potty at a social? Don't you have to go potty at some point? It's better when you make it to the potty first.
Hey, it's Jim from Ace Ticket, Boston's very own ticket agency. Ace Ticket is based here in Boston, so we know every seat in every venue. We're Boston fans just like you, from Boston sports to concert and theater. Whether you need one ticket or 100, Ace has you covered. So treat yourself or someone special. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com and take advantage of our free and easy pickup at our Fenway Park or Boston Garden location. That's 1-800-MY-SEATS.
1-800-MY-SEATS. Is that bacon I smell?
Grandma must be cooking.
She makes everything with bacon. Bacon pie, bacon shrimp, bacon on the cob.
I know one thing that tastes better than her cooking.
What's that?
The new Bacon McDouble from McDonald's. It's made with two savory pieces of bacon, melty American cheese.
Mm, that sounds better than anything Grandma can whip up.
I heard that.
The new Bacon McDouble is here. Right now, you can get two Bacon McDoubles or two large fries or one of each for just $3.33. Price of single item posted on menu board. Price and participation may vary for a limited time.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with cheese combo.
Oh, will that be all?
That's it.
Go, Pats!
What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go, Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help.
I'll just take this when you're ready.
Oh, here you go.
Go, Pats!
Indeed, go, Pats. With Patriots checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit card.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open!
Whoops. Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. And account setup fee may apply in some states.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Health Care Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
This is Patriots defensive end Sean Ellis, and I get ready for every game with Paul Perillo and Andy Hart on the Patriots pregame social, live on the Patriots Facebook page.
We're so tight with Sean Ellis that it just rolls off his tongue when he says our names.
Paul Perillo and Andy Hart. I had a little talk with Sean Ellis this week because
name dropper.
It was the I was name dropping. You were correct. Because it was the 10th anniversary, of course, of the day that the New England Patriots franchise changed for the positive forever when Mo Lewis took out Drew Bledsoe. And I happened to notice in watching one of the replays, many replays that we've seen of that play, Sean Ellis was right there with Mo
Lewis. They almost high-low him.
And he was sort of on a knee when Bledsoe was down and out. He was completely out. And I asked him, if, you know, just for his recollections. Now, he didn't really have much in terms of what his memories were. He thought, obviously, like most people, most injuries, he didn't realize how serious it was at the time. It was just a run-of-the-mill hit. Didn't realize the internal damage that had been done. But did sort of take pause and think back to, you know, he said, you know, at the time, you know, we didn't. But now that I'm here and Tom Brady got to play, I'm glad it happened because now he gets to play with Tom Brady as his quarterback.
Plus, he might not have come here if Tom Brady hadn't, you know, turned this team around, made it a Super Bowl champion. Belichick weren't still here. You know, there could be a butterfly effect beyond belief.
And don't forget, guys, and this is our final segment of the JetBlue Patriots pregame social this week. We're looking for that best email of the week, the autotrader.com email of the week, and you can find yourself in possession of a $100 gift card to the Patriots Pro Shop, as Pete did last week. So,
and as we head down the stretch toward Christmas,
still looking for a winner.
Could either get yourself something nice or your loved friends and loved ones.
So Tom in Waterbury, Connecticut takes his shot. This question is irrelevant to the game. Well, that's a great way to win a email of the week contest, but it's been
on
driving me crazy.
Social.
Hopefully you guys might have an answer. When playing Madden 12, I noticed one odd thing. When looking at any of the 32 teams and their coaches, you get a name and a picture. Example, Atlanta Falcons, Mike Smith and his pitcher. For the Patriots, it says, for New England, all you get is a silhouette of a person. And for name, you get N.E. coach. I know we like to say Bill is all cloak and dagger, but this is ridiculous. Could you shine some light on this troubling issue?
He's not signed on the agreement. Whatever the agreement is that all the coaches have signed off on, he has never signed off on. So he is not in the game. He's not. It's nothing huge. It's just
I don't think there's a huge,
it is what it is,
unknown story there. It's one of those contractual things. He's not on board,
right?
And I don't think that's going to change.
He doesn't play along sometimes, and if you watched the Life of Football Bill Belichick documentary on NFL Network, you saw that when he was joking with the officials about the 50th anniversary uniforms for the AFL, and he's making fun of the officials, and he said, you should have seen the bleep they tried to put me in, meaning he decided he wasn't wearing it, so no matter who said, equipment manager, marketing people wear it, he doesn't wear it. He wears what he wants, which is generally either his blue polo or his, as the weather gets a little cooler, his chopped sleeves pullover.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. There's a lot of different examples of the way you put it. Sometimes he just doesn't play along. The NFL, what, 5, 6, 7 years ago, started putting those captain's patches on their uniforms. Patriots don't do it. Why? Really for no better reason than I don't want to. says Bill
so
Belichick.
So ridiculous.
Well, I think that's a little different. I think that has more to do with their whole philosophy of, you know, all is one, one is all.
I don't.
Brady doing his press conferences at the locker, and they don't want to put something on a jersey that differentiates five or six players from the other players.
Yeah, I don't think he would have captains.
I think that's four
more.
I think that's. Oh no, I think he puts a lot of importance in captains.
I think he does too.
But I don't think he needs the world to know that they're captains to differentiate them. It's behind the scenes. It's when I sit in my captains' meetings and I meet with them once a week and use them as a sounding board and as a council, a leadership council for this team. But I don't think he wants to differentiate on the field between players. I don't think he believes in that. Whereas I think his attire thing is he just doesn't want to do it.
Yeah, no, I understand what you're saying. I think it's more of, you know, if it was something that he had come up with or decided to do that no other team did, I think it would be great. But I think the determining factor there is that the league told him to do it and he doesn't want to do it.
I think he's philosophically opposed to it. I think he flat out doesn't believe
it. You give him more credit than I do.
Generally,
in this regard, not as a coach. I knew you. I had to cut you off at the pass because you're so predictable. Tom is in Wilmington. He says that one thing that could hurt the Patriots in this game is C.J. Spiller. But Bill always does a good job at scheming against the player, like he does with tight ends. So I think we'll be fine. And I'm looking forward to a possible blowout. Great show from you guys. And that's Tom. He also sent in some Patriots related stuff there, so we can take a look at. But we talked a lot about Spiller today. I think he's a guy, he's an X-factor kind of guy. He's definitely an X-factor kind of guy to be concerned about. So that's something to keep in the back of the mind. And
if the Bills win, C.J. Spiller will be a reason why.
I agree. And I think, as Andy put it, definitely something with all of those new guys out there in the secondary, he can make you look silly. And if you get the ball to him in space – on one of those wheel routes like John had talked about, or you know, in some other manner, something to worry about. Something to worry about. Fred Kirsch with some not-so-great news from warm-ups. Hate to say it, but Ocho looks terrible in warm-ups. One time he didn't even turn to look for the ball. Brady stood with hands on his hips staring at him.
So I'm guessing that was somehow related to Jeff Howe's recent tweet that things you don't want to see 40 minutes before kickoff. Three consecutive incompletions on crossing patterns against no defenders.
I gave Jeff a little bit of a hard time with the Ryan Mallett stuff. I'm going to give him props there. I agree.
That was an error on your part. It didn't have anything to do with Jeff Howe.
Correct, but he passed it along.
Maybe he was mocking the person.
Alex in Edmonton next up. Hey, boys, not trying to win any money, but just wanted to share that I'm in bed listening to The Social and I'm effing hungover. On the plus side, I beat a Jets fan in beer pong last night. Definitely won't be drinking again, or at least for another hour when the game is on. that's Alex in Edmonton.
I love those times. I'm never drinking again.
Oh, how many times have you said that? Why do I do this? I'm not doing this again. let's see. We have a few more emails here. Andy, do you have any more keys to this game that maybe we let slip through the cracks in this 2 hours?
I would say not allowing Ryan Fitzpatrick to be comfortable, because I am so unhung about this back end of the defense. Oh, I'm unhung.
Okay.
I am. I'm a little worried. Don't get me wrong. I'm a little worried. But if you let him back there, I think this would fall into one of those games where anybody you gave time to, I could put you back there, Paul Perillo, and you'd find some open receivers. So I think it doesn't have to be great, but I think you need to see a little bit of pressure up front from Ninkovich, from Cunningham. Because my expectation is, I think there's a chance the versatility of Sean Ellis with Haynesworth out, Pryor gone, Wright out. I think you could see Sean Ellis in that interior line rotation today with Love and Will Fork, meaning there'll be more of a pressure put on Jermaine Cunningham to play more at end and maybe be involved a little bit in the pass rush there. So be interesting to keep an eye on the front and see if they can get a little pressure. I'm not looking for six sacks, just don't let him be comfortable back there.
Coupling with your point, I think that if you get after Fitzpatrick, he, as you pointed out, he'll give you opportunities. Patriots' inexperienced secondary needs to catch the football. I know that sounds silly, but he's going to throw it up for you. Oakland dropped a couple last week, and the Bills ended up winning the game. If you don't, that's the difference. If you don't let those opportunities slip through your hands, that's the difference. So, and I think there might be guys that haven't been used to being in those situations that need to come through today. Going to hit on a couple more emails here before we get to Eric. Listening to you guys while pre-gaming for the game with the family, a ton of alcohol involved. I have a question regarding the defensive inactive state. How do you guys feel With Chung and Haynesworth out, the Bills' offense will attack our weakness, which is obviously the secondary. I strongly feel that with Chung out, Ryan Fitzpatrick will exploit Josh Barrett, Ross Ventrone, and Sergio Brown noticeably. Just want to hear your opinions on that subject. Enjoy the shows and Andy's immature behavior, seeing as I have the same kind of humor.
Nice. That's why you're cool. Yes, that is obviously a major concern. The entire secondary. I don't know who we're going to see at what time because of not only the guys that are out of action, inactives, but guys that are banged up and guys that could be limited in any way. And Paul just said it. There's also the concern that, you know, Josh Barrett, even if he stinks, if the one chance where he has to get a turnover, he drops it, that's far worse.
Yeah.
And we know
it's a lost opportunity.
He has, he had a cast on his hand at last check.
Yeah, whether he keeps playing with it or not, we don't know.
Maybe we'll be able to ask somebody on the Ace Ticket Hotline who's about to join us.
That's a great job, Andy. We're going to do that right now. Alex Scalavino, live in person from Orchard Park, New York, Ralph Wilson Stadium.
How you doing, boys? How's the weather back over there?
It's sticky, sticky, sticky. Very muggy.
Yeah, we've got the makings of a beautiful day here in Orchard Park, actually. It's a little balmy.
I don't buy that for a second. There's no such thing.
Yeah, no, I swear to God, it is. It's warm. We almost broke a sweat walking from the bus up to the press box today.
I don't believe that Fred didn't break a sweat walking to the press box. Could have been 30 degrees out and he would have broken a sweat at his weight.
He was most certainly breathing heavy, but at the very least.
Well done with the gratuitous shot at Fred Kirsch. I'll tell him about that after.
So, okay, my first nitpick question of the day to test how closely you are watching pregame warmups. Does Josh Barrett still have the cast on his right hand?
Oh, interesting question. Let me see if I can find him amongst the defenders here.
0-for-1.
I will get back to you on that. I don't spot him at the moment, but when I do, I'll let you know.
I think he's number 3.
Okay, we obviously know a lot about the various lineup changes and the inactives and whatnot. No surprises, and that was obviously the bulk of our show today, but what have you seen in terms of personnel grouping so far with the way they've, they've warmed up here, both offensively and defensively?
Right. I'll start defensively because I think that's where more of the focus is going to be. Looking at Lee Bodden and Devin McCourty at both corners with Barrett and Sergio Brown at the safety spots. I was a little bit surprised at the Chung deactivation, seeing how he missed 2 days but came back on Friday. It looked like that was a promising development for him. So I'm a little bit surprised at how that played out.
You should listen to PFW in Progress. Oh, wait. You're on PFW in Progress. Never mind.
I'm sorry. I you guys cut out there for a second.
Never mind. I just took another shot at you.
Proceed.
I can do that in person when you get back.
Ignore the idiot who keeps interrupting you. And that's not me for once.
Okay. Wait. Wow. Now I'm really stuck. Anyway, offensively, with just the one tight end, again, another surprising move to me that they didn't call up Garrett Mills and at least have some depth at that position. You've got just Rob Gronkowski, and I'm anticipating a big day from Chad Ochocinco. We saw in the opening warm-ups a very rare sight, Tom Brady coming out here about 2 hours before kickoff with Ochocinco. The two of them were just sort of jogging, warming up, talking together. So my sense is that there's going to be a big day between those two guys. And a lot of 3 wide receiver sets, obviously 3-4 wide receiver sets because they only have the one tight end. And that's a lot of what we saw in pregame warmups already.
Are you concerned at all about Ochocinco? Because I agree with you. Theoretically, he's going to be a big part of this offense and have a big day. But Fred Kirsch emailed us and said he already saw a bad drop from Ocho. Are you concerned that he's not quite ready for the role he's being thrust into today?
Well, of course, there's a little bit of that concern because so far we haven't seen the Ocho that we've seen in the NFL over the past decade or so. But in his defense, there was actually a series of about 3 passes that went incomplete, crossing patterns to various wide receivers, and all of them were dropped. And this was before even the defense of the Patriots was warming up with them. It was just, you know, single receivers going across air. So that's a little bit of a concern. There's not really hardly any wind factor at all here today, so...
So you're telling me that Ayer is able to do what no other defense in the National Football League is doing, and that's stop Tom Brady from completing passes.
Yeah, at least in pregame warmups. Yeah, that was the case. One other little interesting note, guys, and this meant to mention this last week to you, and it just got caught in the wash there. In pregame warmups, you know, we have the kickers come out first, and then the kick returners, punt returners. Among that group last week and again this week, cornerbacks Devin McCourty and Kyle Arrington came out and fielded some kicks with the usual suspects of Welker and Edelman and Slater and the like. Not that that will have any impact, I don't think, but it's just curious that that development has come up the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, good to have that in the back of the head down the road. You never know how things like that pop up. Along those lines, guys popping up where we might not expect them, Paul and I were kind of theorizing earlier that maybe we could see a defensive player on offense today, maybe a Rob Ninkovich play a little tight end. Do you have any inkling or have you seen anything that would lead you to believe that we could see, in terms of scrambling, maybe an offensive or defensive player going the other way today?
Well, that's a great point, and Ninkovich would certainly be a possibility, I think, because he does have, even if it's only limited, some experience at tight end while he was at Purdue. We also saw, if you guys remember in the Miami game in the opener, Dane Fletcher lining up at fullback and even getting a pass thrown his way.
Yes.
So, yeah, I wouldn't rule that either of those two options out of the question, especially with the lack of depth we have at tight end right now.
Well, there's obviously going to be a lot to take a look at with both of these offenses. As Andy and I have been saying all day, Eric, that neither defense is going to be the reason that these teams are going to have success in 2011.
No.
So I think it's shaping up to be an entertaining football game at the very least, but it's just hard to go against that that history. It's hard to go against 15 games in a row. I know that, I've been looking at the Twitter feed as you were talking to Andy just now, the Bills are getting all whooped up right now as we speak. Sean Merriman was trying to do the Ray Lewis thing, and I don't know if he was talking like a Matrix, but he was trying to get the his teammates pumped up and ready to go. I just don't know if they have it in them. I don't know if you feel any different than you did, now being there for a day. The vibe in Buffalo, do you feel any confidence there on their side, or is it more trepidation than anything else?
I still think I think they're feeling a little good about themselves being 2-0. I think they're obviously still a little guarded in their optimism given the history, like you said. I also I like the fact that the Patriots seem to be showing a little bit of urgency to this game early on. I mentioned Brady being out there early with Ocho Cinco, which we almost never see. Also saw Gerard Mayo warming up right around that same time, and he's a guy that you almost never see out here that early. So I think the Patriots are taking this game a lot more seriously than some people might have anticipated, given that 15-game streak and all the talk about that and how that might play in, psychologically at least, in their favor. One other note I do want to make about the injuries in this game. Buffalo has one pretty big one in Craig Urbick, their starting right guard, who's not playing.
Correct.
And if there's any sort of vulnerability that the Pats defense can try to take advantage of to get to Ryan Fitzpatrick, it might be up the middle there where there's a little bit of a weak spot in their offensive line.
No, that's a good point. Buffalo's a little banged up as well. They're missing at least four starters, four key guys to them. We've
right.
focused, obviously, on the Patriots guys missing, but it should be an entertaining game. Eric, thanks for checking in. Have safe travels, all that good stuff, and make sure you keep track of Fred. Don't let him get too excited.
Yeah, he's right here next to me. I'll keep a short leash on him.
All right. That's Eric Scalavino checking in from Ralph Wilson Stadium. And the more I'm thinking about this game, Andy, the more I am falling into the offensive fireworks display that most people, I think, are anticipating. I think sometimes you want to find a reason to veer away from the conventional wisdom, but I find it hard to believe that the Patriots could go in there and win a low-scoring slugfest in this game. I think it's going to be points on the board on both sides, and I think the Patriots' offense is the better bet just because of, not the least of which is Tom Brady, but just because of history.
Yeah, no, I mean, I could see the Patriots winning a slugfest if they have to, if that game develops, because obviously if the slugfest develops, it means either the Bills aren't playing well on offense or you're somehow stopping them. The bottom line is they're more talented. They have the more talented playmakers everywhere. You know, even as much as we are down on the defense, I'll take McCourty and Mayo and Wilfork over McKelvin and Kelsey or Merriman. And you know what I mean?
I totally agree.
The worst part of the two teams, I'll take the Patriots' worst over the Bills' worst on defense.
That Bills' secondary is wretched. It's wretched. I mean, and they're missing. It's the best player they have is out.
Right.
right. and Terrence McGee. So it's Drayton Florence. It's Leotis McKelvin. I just don't have faith in those guys. I'm with you. We've had a ton of really good participation today, a lot of great emails, which is great. I'm really happy because it really seems like you guys are embracing what Andy and I are trying to do here in the JetBlue pregame social.
And you got up this morning. I was a little worried that maybe people would sleep in.
And I'm glad
they're up and at them.
I'm glad you mentioned that because that is why – that is why we decided to go with James in Brisbane, Australia, as our autotrader.com emailer of the week.
Jimmy!
You pull an all-nighter. You participate in the JetBlue Patriots pregame social.
You have a cool accent.
You're ready to go for the Patriots 1 o'clock start from Australia.
You know what a bingo is and why it ain't your baby.
That is, to me, that is worth the $100 gift card for Patriots in the Patriots Pro Shop. And you get that thanks to autotrader.com. And did you know, Andy Hart? As we mentioned last week, because I think you said you were in line to buy a car. Did you not?
Soon.
Okay. Well, did you know that Auto Trader?
I'm a truck guy, you know, so.
Now you're stepping on the reed.
But
I can't work with these amateurs.
They have
trucks. I can't work
too,
with these,
you know,
amateurs.
So whether you know their commercials when I pick them and all the cars are flipping over and all that.
That's
well,
correct.
I'm going to have to decide between the four-door pickup truck, the big body, or do I go with that Mini Cooper I've always kind of wanted?
That's Bush. Bush League.
Well, did you know that Autotrader.com has brand spanking new cars? Well, you do now, Andy. Compare new cars and even special offers side by side so you can find the perfect deal on the one car your head and heart agree on. Autotrader.com, now the ultimate new car marketplace. I like that.
And you can decide online, Mini Cooper that people will make fun of, or big badass truck that people will make fun of.
So thanks to Autotrader.com and thanks to James in Brisbane.
Well, if you were a man, I would punch you. I'd punch you right in the mouth.
This week's winner of the Emailer of the Week.
We have one other James we have to touch on. The most interesting James on the planet. No offense to our friend in Australia. James Pettigrew checked in. And we all know, listeners to this show, he was here last week. He's a very nice man.
Oh, he was here, all right.
Left his mark, and I need to thank him again for that mark. But more importantly, his house is not done that he's moving into, but one room is, sort of.
The man cave?
He sent me a photo of his new 70-inch TV.
Oh, jeez.
And his fold-up chair in front of it, because there's no furniture in the room, where he'll be watching the Patriots game today. He looks like he's doing a little work, maybe putting some other stuff together, final touches on the house. But he'll be watching Patriots-Bills shootout in all the glory of 70-inch HD.
Actually, I'm not even mad. That's amazing.
We have a few more
Jimmy,
emails, Andy Hart, we can get to before we wrap this puppy up. You want to?
Sure, let's finish strong, fast and strong. Go.
Mike in San Diego, a little concerned about your boy, and I shouldn't say your boy, our boy, Taylor Price.
Not my boy anymore. I'm cutting ties.
I've noticed that Taylor Price has really slowed down on his tweets over the last
couple
of weeks.
The price is wrong, bitch.
His tweets were generally pretty positive, but now I'm hardly seeing any from him at all. Could the three straight weeks of being inactive be bringing him down, or could he just be under the same scrutiny as Ocho Cinco, whose tweets have also slowed down over the past couple of weeks? Lastly, who steps in most for Hernandez today?
Ocho Cinco steps in most. Hopefully he'll catch the ball when thrown to him for at least five catches and a touchdown. Taylor Price, while I joke that I'm, you know, kind of getting worried and potentially cutting ties with him because he's been inactive for 18 of 19 games to start his career in the National Football League. That's never a good sign. He has a hamstring injury.
He does.
He's on the injury report with a hamstring injury. He was coming out of the locker room, and we saw clearly his shorts pulled up on one side where they were working on his hamstring. He has a health issue. The disappointing part is the health issue is causing him to miss opportunities. Today could have potentially been an opportunity for him to have a coming out party against a bad defense. Hernandez out of the lineup, this offense clicking, get out there, make some plays, build some confidence. He misses that opportunity. Chad Ocho Cinco may seize that opportunity. And that then means that when Price is healthy, maybe he's a little bit further behind, still on the depth chart. So there is the concern. But first and foremost, he has a hamstring injury. It is what it is.
He's still tweeting, by the way. Don't worry about
it. Yeah, they both are.
Chad
Ocho Cinco tweeted, I believe, last night,
yeah.
Don't worry, I'll get back to my old tweeting when I realize what I can get away with or whatever. So he's still Chad.
Unbelievable. Carl just got his first paper of PFW, and he loves it. So thank you for that, for being a subscriber and for being a loyal listener to Patriots.com Radio.
And for just being you, gosh darn it.
Absolutely. Could you see Bill Belichick using a little bit more of 3-4 this week with Will Fork and Ellis at ends and Kyle Love in the middle? If we can't establish a pass rush today, it definitely doesn't bode well for the season. The Bills haven't had a good offensive line and just lost a key guard. Today is the day to attack and establish a decent pass rush. As always, go Pats and F the Jets.
I think there's a chance you could see that. I don't think it's likely. As I said earlier, I think there's also a chance you see Sean Ellis move inside, rotate at the tackle spots in the 4-3. But the one problem with going 3-4 in your little scenario, which may look good up front, Kyle Love has really evolved. Fred Kirsch is a huge Kyle Love fan. I'm sure he'd be all for that, getting him on the field between those two veterans. If you go 3-4, you may lose out on a little something from Andre Carter. And I'd like to unleash Andre Carter as well as some of the other guys. So I think sticking with the 4-3 and keeping Mayo on the edge, keeping Carter on the edge, maybe using Cunningham on your left edge there. I still like the 4-3 front with the idea of let's get after Fitzpatrick a little bit.
Especially, and I think the last point that he made there about the Bills' offensive line, it hasn't been great in recent years. I think that's an area you can exploit. Mally in Bellevue, Nebraska, he thinks that you're going to see, without the tight ends today, a lot of empty backfields with five wide. He thinks that's the way to go. I think you're going to see a lot of empty, and I think you're going to see a lot, as Andy said, of Danny Woodhead.
Well, I think that's what you'll see. You'll see a lot of four wides, or, you know, Gronkowski three wides, Woodhead in the backfield, but a lot of times we all know Tom Brady lifts that leg, and that turns into an empty backfield with Woodhead going out, testing the communication and the abilities of the Bills secondary that is a little banged up and, let's be honest, not up to par.
I'm going to close out with an email from Jared because, and you'll know why, he loves the show, loves the fact that it's on the air, and he can listen to games while being stationed in the Middle East in Bahrain. Keep up the good work. I look forward to your show each and every week. And, Andy, what do we have to say to Jared?
Thank you for your service.
Thank you for your service, without question. That's going to put a wrap on our first edition of a Sunday at 1 o'clock, and unfortunately don't get too used to them because I think we only have three left. Of the JetBlue Patriots pregame social. Congratulations to James for being the emailer of the week, James in Brisbane, and also a thank you to Chris Brown from Bills Digest.
And for not hitting us.
Pats 38, Bills 27. Andy Hart, quick prediction.
Pats 35, Bills 21. The streak reaches 16, and Patriots fans go home happy.
Okay, make sure now to get over to Patriots.com and get on the Kirsch words. Live in-game chat with Fred Kirsch. Keep him busy, and also come back to Patriots.com radio after the game. Listen to the post-game show with Adam Pac-Man Jones.
This has been the Patriots pregame social, live from the Patriots Facebook page. Now it's game time as the Patriots square off with the Buffalo Bills from Ralph Wilson Stadium.
Second down and two, Woodhead up the middle, first down. He's inside the 25, inside the 20, turning outside. 15, 10, 5, touchdown, Danny Woodhead.
Be sure to tune in to Patriots.com radio all week long for recaps and reaction to this week's game.
Four receivers to the right for Fitzpatrick. He's awaiting the snap, and he's got him. He's back to throw, looks over the middle, being rushed, gets rid of the football, and it is intercepted by Patrick Chung at the 40, 35, 30, left sideline, and knocked out of bounds on the far side of the field.
Look forward to hearing from you on next week's edition of the Patriots Pregame Social.
Hey, it's Jim from Ace Ticket, Boston's very own ticket agency. Ace Ticket is based here in Boston, so we know every seat in every venue. We're Boston fans just like you. From Boston sports to concert and theater, whether you need one ticket or 100, Ace has you covered. So treat yourself or someone special. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com and take advantage of our free and easy pickup at our Fenway Park or Boston Garden location. That's 1-800-MY-SEATS.
1-800-MY-SEATS. 1-800-MY-SEATS.